nonprofit serving Northern California communities is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Money Pit is presented by LL Flooring, Castle Filters, Custom Building Products, the Angie App, Wagner Sprayers, and Roof Max. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And we are here to help you take on projects you want to get done around your house. So, if you're working on a deck, if you're mowing your yard, if you're fixing up a roof, if you're planning a project, maybe you're thinking about this is the time to do a new kitchen or a bathroom, or maybe a new bedroom, whatever project is on your to-do list, you can move it right over to ours by reaching out to us with those questions. We're your coach, we're your helpers, we're your therapists if something goes wrong, whatever you need, we're here to lend a hand. A couple of ways to get in touch. The best thing to do is head to moneypit.com and click on the blue microphone button which says leave a message, or you can call us at 1-888-MONEYPIT. Coming up on today's show, if you've ever taken on a tiling project, you might know that some of the more inconvenient parts of the project are that it's messy and it takes days because you have to wait for the adhesive to set before you can grout. We're going to show you a trick of the trade to help avoid all that and get the job done far faster.
And if you think the best way to save time and energy cutting the grass is to set the mower as low as possible so you don't have to mow that often, you might be surprised to find out that that can actually end up being more work in the long run.
That's right. And it's a great time of year for outdoor living. And if you want to step up your space, we've got tips on how you can build out your very own fire pit.
Plus, do you have any big paint projects that you're about to take on? Well, we've got a big giveaway that can help. We have a Wagner Control Pro 170 high-efficiency airless paint sprayer ready to send out to one lucky listener.
The Control Pro 170 makes it easy for DIYers to tackle paint projects like decks, fences, or even an entire house. It's worth $379, and it's going to go out to one listener drawn at random. How do you get in on this? Well, you got to contact us with your home improvement question. Click that blue microphone button on MoneyPit.com or call us right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT. Let's get started. Leslie, who's first?
Sherilyn, Virginia, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
I have a cement porch. The house was built in 1981, and it has a cement front porch to it. And it along the edges of the porch, it's cracking and crumbling, like, off. Okay. And then in one portion of the porch, it actually has a, you know, water stand there because it's a dip. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if there's a economical way I could fix that to make this porch last a little bit longer.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things that you could do. You could either resurface the whole porch surface, or you could mix up a recipe of Quikrete products that could be used to patch those badly chipped or spalled areas. Now, the key here is that you just can't buy a cement mix in the bag, mix it up, and be done. Because when you're trying to adhere new concrete to old concrete, you need to use products that are designed to make that bond possible. So if you go to quickcrete.com, you look at the listings for projects, there are actually one sheets there that give you the step-by-step for repairing badly damaged concrete. There's also a one sheet for resurfacing concrete. And I think one of those two applications and the products they recommend there are going to work. It is a do-it-yourself project, and it's not terribly expensive. The products are very affordable, and the instructions are there, too. But make sure you follow them. It's like mixing a recipe. You can't leave out, one item, or it's just not going to come out right.
Okay. And then, now, as far as along those edges, that we have to probably build up a sidewall.
You could mix it up to a consistency where you could trowel it and reform the edge.
Wow. Okay. Cool. TheQuickCrete.com. Thank you so much.
Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Now we're heading over to Tennessee, where Daniel is dealing with carpenter bees and, of course, those lovely, perfectly round board holes that they love to make all over your wood house. What's going on?
Oh, well, I've got these carpenter bees that keep, like, drilling holes into my fascia board right there underneath my roof, and I filled them in and I've repainted, and they keep coming back. I don't know if there's maybe something I can do to prevent that or something I can do.
All righty, folks, welcome back here to Tiger Field. We're welcoming onto the field right now Miss Erin Woodward, who is about to begin for us the national anthem.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand for the national anthem. Remove your hats, please. Now singing the national anthem will be our very own Erin Woodward.
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallant.
Well, once again, that was Erin Woodward singing for us the national anthem tonight. She did a terrific job, as always. She's come out and sung for us a couple of times here at Tiger Field. Well, we're going to have the plate meeting going right now. If I forgot to mention it earlier, this game is going to be brought to you tonight by North Valley Distributing once again at 3081 Crossroads Drive. They're a proud sponsor of Reading Colt 45's baseball and a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. If you need them, give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. So as the Colt 45's come out onto the field and begin to warm up, I'll go ahead and give you the lineups for tonight. It's going to be Arive Camacho, as usual, starting off the game. at the box. And starting at shortstop for us tonight, it'll be Kyle Norton again in that number two spot playing first. It'll be Bryce Tweed in center batting third once again. Derek Ray will be cleaning things up for us this evening in the designated hitter spot. Blake Tweed will follow him. He'll be in right field. It'll be Mateo Mendoza behind the plate for the second consecutive game. So kind of throwing off the switch-off routine of Mendoza and Ethan Williams. It'll be Jeffries following him in that seventh spot, playing third. Giacomo Crescetti in right. He'll be batting eighth. And then Jonathan Kumai at second and batting ninth once again. On the mound for the Colt 45s tonight is going to be Connor Irvine. We're no stranger to him, out of the University of Oklahoma, Monticello. He is typically one of the stronger arms on this Colt 45s team, and we know he can get through quite a few innings if he's got his good stuff. So let's hope he is bringing his good stuff today, and let's see if he can shut down this Grizzlies lineup like Isaac Horsman did last night. It'll be for the Grizzlies, starting in left field and leading off, Rodriguez. We do not have any first names tonight for the Grizzlies. I just have the names that were on the lineup given to me last night. And, well, that consists of about less than half of the lineup tonight. So it'll be Divitorio, batting second, playing shortstop for the Grizzlies. It'll be Taylor Kaufman in center field. Batting third, cleaning up will be Juan Leon, the third baseman. Jordan Scott in right, batting fifth. Behind him, it will be Geno Hutchinson, the second baseman. Behind him will be Owens, again, no first name. He'll be playing first base. In that eighth spot, it'll be Reeder. Again, I apologize, no first name. And following him in that number nine spot will actually be the pitcher, Collins. Again, unfortunately, no first name. Just like that, now Rodriguez is actually going to come out to the plate as Connor Irvine delivers a first-pitch fastball in there, swung on and missed for strike one. The 0-1 pitch now. That one's going to be swung on and fouled in the air to the left side. Count will quickly become no balls and two strikes. Irvine setting up again. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. In the dirt, ball one. Well, we know last night, Isaac Horsman went a solid six, did not give up a run. Coming in to relieve him was Caden Nichols. He also didn't give up a run through three. Now the 1-2 pitch is going to be high. Fastball in there, that'll even up the count at two balls and two strikes. Now Irvine, 2-2 pitch, here it is. Curveball called for strike three. Nice pitch there. Fell right off the table into the strike zone as Rodriguez goes down looking. It'll be Divitorio coming up to the plate now. Again, we've got four of these Grizzlies here in the lineup tonight. Sorry, five of them that we don't have any first names for. They were not in the lineup last night or even on the roster I was given. So Divitorio swings at a fastball and fouls it off back behind him into the net. Irvine now setting up for the 0-1. Here's the pitch. Curveball. It's going to miss inside for ball one. Count will even up now at a ball and a strike. Irvine comes set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the left side. Camacho is going to full extend and slide. He'll make the grab, but already, Divitorio reaches first, so there will be no throw from Arif Camacho. Nice job getting to that ball. Unfortunately, it was just hit right in the right spot where Camacho couldn't quite get to it in time. It'll be an infield single for Divitorio to start off the Grizzlies, and that'll bring up Taylor Kaufman, the center fielder. He's going to watch a fastball go by a little outside for ball one. Irvine sets up. Here's the pitch. Fastball this time, swung on and fouled back into the net. Count will even up at a ball and a strike. Kaufman steps back into the box. Irvine takes his sign. Here's the pitch. Curveball, swing and a miss. Strike two. That was a nice pitch from Irvine. That curveball already looking pretty disgusting here tonight. Speaking of disgusting, it's been an extremely hot day. Irvine sets up, delivers. High fastball, swing and a miss. Strike three. So two strikeouts here so far in the first inning for Connor Irvine as Juan Leon comes up to the plate tonight. Leon last night was 1-for-4 with a single. Now with two outs and a runner on first, he'll look to get a job done. As I was saying, extremely hot night. It's still about 104 degrees here in Reading and at Tiger Field. So Irvine sets up and throws a high fastball for ball one to Juan Leon. Luckily, most of the field is in the shade at the moment. Here comes the 1-0. It's going to be another high fastball, but swung on this time by Leon and missed for strike one. So it doesn't quite feel like 104, but still pretty hot out here. 1-1 pitch from Irvine on its way. Swing and a miss. Strike two. That one was an outside fastball. Leon tried to go out and get it. Couldn't reach it. It'll be a ball and two strikes with two outs for Leon. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So, Connor Irvine strikes out the side to get this game started. Gives up an infield single, but nothing else. So, that'll bring us to the bottom of the first inning where the Colts look to strike first. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45's baseball. North Valley Distributing, servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the first inning at Tiger Field. Reading Colt 45s versus the East Bay Grizzlies for the second time this weekend. It's going to be a Radiv Camacho leading things off for the Colt 45s here in the bottom of the first. He'll be going up against Collins. That's the only name we have for him. We do not have a first name, like I said earlier in the last inning, or in the top of the inning, I'm sorry. We have five players in this East Bay Grizzlies lineup that we were not given first names for. So, Camacho will go up against Collins, looking to strike first here in the bottom of the first. Last night, it was a 6-0 ball game. Colt 45s won it. But now I wouldn't say 6-0 was maybe a real accurate reflection of how close the game was pretty much the entire way through. I mean, we saw good performances from both sides out there on the mound. It was, Keyshawn Martin out onto the mound for the Grizzlies, and he pitched all 8 innings that the Grizzlies were out there on the field. He, like I said, gave up 6 runs. However, say probably at least 2 or 3 of those runs weren't his fault. They were the result of errors. And, well, he was just a workhorse. Like I said, pitching 8 innings and threw a few runs. He did a good job. So props to him. It'll be Collins out here tonight. Camacho looking to start things off. As Camacho steps into the box, Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. High fastball there. fall one. Now, right out of the gate, Collins, his velocity looking pretty low. 1-0 pitch. That one's going to be swung on and popped straight up down the third baseline. It'll be the third baseman, Juan Leon, falling back and dropping that ball. He overran that one just a little bit. Both he and the catcher, Reeder, were chugging after that one. And well, Leon got there first, but overran it, ended up falling backwards, trying to make the catch and could not. So the count will be a ball and a strike to Camacho. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. Now I'm telling you, this might be the lowest velocity we've seen from a pitcher all season, and Camacho is struggling to adjust to it. You can tell he's really trying to unload on a pitch, but he's just not able to time him up quite right. Now Collins will step off. Now he's back on. 1-2 pitch. Here it comes. Swung on. This one's going to be a little jam shot into right field, and it'll fall for a base hit. So, not a real powerful hit, but it'll get Camacho a bloop single there as Kyle Norton comes up to the plate. Norton, out of Lassen College, has pretty much been the Colt 45's go-to first baseman all year. There have been few games where he hasn't started over there at first. Now Camacho going to go on the first pitch. Throw down is going to be not in time. Camacho slides in easily. As I was saying, Norton, really a solid glove over there at first. There's not much he can't dig out of the dirt. As now Collins is going to step off the rubber before stepping back on. Camacho strikes early with that stolen base. Here comes the pitch. Fastball in there on the outside corner for strike one. It'll be a 1-1 count to Kyle Norton. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. High fastball, ball two. So the count will be two balls and a strike to Kyle Norton. Camacho leads off of second once again. They're not holding him on too tight. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted into shallow left. Going back is the shortstop, DiVittorio, but coming in is going to be Rodriguez, the left fielder, and he'll make the catch, sliding to an E. Now, really, I probably would have considered that DiVittorio's ball, but Rodriguez came chugging in there from left and called DiVittorio off. He had a good angle on it. Makes the catch for out number one. That'll bring up Bryce Tweed now, out of Sac City College. Tweed, we know him to be one of the biggest power hitters on this Colt 45's offense. Now, Camacho taking third on the pitch, and he's going to be in there safely once again. It's a long delivery from the catcher, or sorry, from the pitcher Collins. I mean, it takes quite a bit of time, and Camacho took full advantage of it and got to third pretty easily. Now the pitch to Tweed is going to be a called strike. It'll be a 1-1 count for him. As I was saying, Tweed, one of the largest power hitters on this Colt 45's offense. He was 0-for-4 last night, but made contact every time as he skies one foul over to the left side. It'll be a ball and two strikes for him. Like I said, now first three batters that we've seen all seeming to have trouble with that slow fastball from Collins. A lot of them getting under it and getting out in front of it and popping these balls up. Here's the pitch. Curveball swung on, grounded straight back to Collins. Now they've got Camacho in a pickle. Camacho, he's getting a little tricky with it. And he will be back into third safely. Collins fielded that ground ball and kind of chased Camacho down the third baseline as Camacho went towards the plate. He tossed it to the catcher, Reeder. Reeder grabbed it, and Reeder chased him all the way back to third base and threw it over a little too late as Camacho was back in sliding. So a little bit of trickery and some fancy footwork gets Camacho back into third safely and will put Bryce Tweed over on second. Now Derek Ray, the designated hitter, is going to take a fastball high for ball one. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Fastball across the outside corner of the plate. It'll be no balls and two strikes for Derek Ray. Now the pitch. Swing and a miss in the dirt. Sorry, that was strike two. It's going to be a 1-2 pitch. Sorry, a 1-2 count now for Derek Ray. Here comes the 1-2. Again in the dirt. This one's going to skirt away from the catcher Reader. Camacho holds up, however. Count will move to two balls and two strikes. As Ray steps back up into the box. Setting up is Collins. Runners on second and third. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Count will become full for Derek Ray. Now, it's showing two outs on the scoreboard. However, it's only actually one out so far. Just Kyle Norton is Ray. Skies one over to the right side in foul territory. Going over is the pitcher, Collins, and he'll drop it. So over there at first base, we have an unnamed player. It's Owens. Sorry. And actually, I think that's the coach. I think he might be playing first base tonight. Here's the full count to Ray. Strike three called. Curveball in there. Ray disagrees, but he'll head back to the dugout. And in case any of you are confused on what I just said, Owens, Brandon Owens is the name of our coach for the East Bay Grizzlies. And now we have our first baseman is also, we were given the last name Owens, no first name. Here's the pitch to Blake Tweed. That's going to be a fastball in there for a called strike. Now the Grizzlies have two outs with runners on second and third. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. High fastball, ball one. But Owens, over at first base, he looks very grown. Definitely looks a little older than a collegiate player. And he's wearing no jersey, just a compression athletic shirt. So now the pitch to Tweed is going to be a curveball. He'll foul it off back into the net. And as I'm looking in that Grizzlies dugout, it doesn't look like there's anybody in there. So I think they might have been short of players, and the coach, Brandon Owens, is playing first base for him tonight. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. It's going to be on the outside corner. It'll miss for ball two. Count will be evened up at a couple of balls and a couple of strikes. But that's something we haven't seen so far this season. If I'm correct, I could be wrong, but I'm really pretty sure that that is Brandon Owens over there. 2-2, here it is. Strike three called. Curveball, almost the exact same pitch that Derek Ray saw, and Tweed goes down looking. So, Collins gets himself in a bit of trouble, but ultimately gets out of it. That'll send us to the top of the second. And remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45's baseball. Give them a call at 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back
to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
All right, folks, welcome back here to the top of the second. It's going to be Jordan Scott coming to the plate for the Grizzlies tonight. And, well, to add to the fact that the Grizzlies are short of players and are playing at first base what I believe to be their coach, Brandon Owens, we have no third or first base coach for the Grizzlies, which would make sense because Owens is supposed to be batting third in this inning. Now a fastball from Irvine is going to be called a strike. It was on the lower inside corner. Here comes the 0-1 pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to Camacho. He's got it. He'll set up and throw to first for out number one. So Jordan Scott quickly put away with a ground out. That'll bring up Geno Hutchinson, the second baseman. So Hutchinson steps up to the plate. Indeed. Brandon Owens going on to that on deck circle. Comes the pitch from Irvine. Curveball in there for strike one. That was a dirty pitch. I mean, that just had some filthy spin on it. Here comes the 0-1. Fastball this time on the inside corner. Irvine does a great job of jumping out in front of Hutchinson. Barely gave him time to react to that first pitch curveball and then came right back at him with a fastball on the inside corner for strike two. Now Irvine gets his sign. 0-2 pitch. Here it is. It's going to be swung on and driven into right field. It'll fall in front of Giacomo Crisetti for a base hit. So Irvine jumps out in front of Hutchinson, but Hutchinson eventually catches up and gets himself a base hit. And that will indeed bring up our catcher, our first baseman, who I believe to be the coach, Brandon Owens. Irvine sets up. Here's the pitch. Owens takes a fastball in there for strike one. And, I mean, if you look at Owens, he looks like a guy that should be playing in Triple-A ball. I mean, he's a big man. Here's the 0-1. Inside fastball, again, called for strike two. Irvine got him in an 0-2 count now. He'll shake off a couple of signs. Takes this one. Here comes the pitch. Strike three called. So Owens watched his three pitches go by and strikes out looking. That'll bring up Reeder, the catcher. So he tries to get his shin guards off before heading up to the plate. It'll still be Hutchinson over there at first. As Irvine looks in for his sign. Now he's got it. Here comes the pitch. Little check swing there. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a called strike. Nice fastball from Irvine. Takes his sign again. Here's the pitch. Curveball. Strike two called. Irvine working extremely efficiently here tonight. He's not throwing a lot of balls at all. Almost everything he's putting out there is going in the strike zone. 0-2, here it is. Swung on and fouled over to the right side into the parking lot. No balls and two strikes once again to Reeder. Irvine sets up. Here comes the pitch. High curveball. That one seemed to get away from Irvine. Count became a ball and two strikes. Irvine sets up again. Here's the pitch. grounded lightly to the third baseman, Jeffries. He's got it. He'll throw over to first. It'll be offline, but Norton moves over well and makes the snag for out number three. So, once again, Irvine gets out of it pretty quickly. That'll send us to the bottom of the second, where, again, the Colts look to strike first. This game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. So call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to the bottom of the second inning at Tiger Field. It's going to be Mateo Mendoza coming up to the plate for the first time, going up against Collins here. Collins got himself into a bit of trouble, allowed runners on second and third with just one out in the bottom of the first, but was able to come back and get two quick ones to get out of the inning without allowing a run to score. Mendoza will look to lead things off with maybe a base hit or more. Last night, Mendoza had an absolute moonshot hit that went just foul. The umpires had a hard time deciding whether it was fair or foul because of the fact that it was so high, it went over the foul pole, and I believe it actually went over the net out there in left field and into the street. I mean, it was probably one of the furthest hit balls I've seen in at this level, especially with a wood bat. So now Mendoza will step up to the plate. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted into right field. Going back a few steps is going to be Jordan Scott, and he'll make the catch for out number one. So Mendoza goes down on the first pitch. And that'll bring up Peyton Jeffries. Jeffries was 2-for-4 last night with a couple of singles and an RBI as well. Now here in the bottom of the second, he'll look to lead things off. She steps in to the box. Collins gets his sign. Here's the pitch. Fastball, a little low. It'll be called a ball. Count will move to 1-0. Now, the pitch, it's going to be a fastball up in the zone. Jeffries takes a hack and misses. It'll be evened up now at a ball and a strike. Jeffries steps back into the box. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. Curveball swung on lightly down the first baseline, barely foul. He's really riding that first baseline hard, kind of bounced in and out a couple of times, like it was going to go one way or the other until it finally just drifted foul. Count will be a ball and two strikes for Peyton Jeffries now. Collins gets his sign and sets up. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Fastball, not quite in the zone. It's a little outside for ball two. Count will be evened up. It'll be a 2-2 count now. Jeffries back in the box. Here's the pitch. Swung on and drilled into right field. That'll be a base hit, maybe more. Scott moving over. He'll cut it off, and Jeffries will hold up at first.
So a nice hard hit from Jeffries into right. Gets him a single. Almost was a double, but the right fielder, Jordan Scott, did a great job of getting to that ball and cutting it off before it got to the wall. It'll be a one-out, one-on situation now for Giacomo Crisetti, the right fielder, coming up to the plate. Jeffries leading off of first. Here's the pitch. High fastball. It'll be ball one. Crisetti steps into the box. Collins, here it is. Swing and a miss. Strike one. I'm not sure if that was a fastball or a changeup. The velocity on both of those pitches looking pretty similar for the pitcher Collins. Either way, it's going to be a 1-1 pitch. Here it comes. Another fastball in there for strike two. It'll be a one ball, two strike count for Giacomo Crisetti with Peyton Jeffries leading off of first. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on, fouled back into the parking lot. Crisetti will stay alive. Jonathan Kumai standing there over on deck. He'll be closing out this Colt 45's lineup. Crisetti steps into the box once again. Collins looks in for a sign. He's got it. Sets up. Here's the 1-2. Swung on and grounded to the shortstop, DiVittorio. He'll throw to second. Over to first. In time. Double play. Nice pick out of the dirt from the first baseman, Brandon Owens. And a double play from Crisetti ends the inning. That'll bring us to the top of the third, where the Grizzlies are still looking for their first runs. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45's baseball. Give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
This is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the top of the third inning at Tiger Field. It's going to be the pitcher, Collins, coming up to the plate for the first time tonight. Collins going up against Connor Irvine. Irvine has thrown two scoreless so far, allowing just two hits. Collins steps into the box. Here comes the pitch from Irvine. Low fastball, won't quite catch the zone. It'll be a ball and no strikes. Irvine quickly sets up again. Here's the 1-0. Another low fastball. Again, just misses the zone. Irvine just needs to bring that up a little bit. 2-0 pitch now on its way. Fastball, that one's going to be just a tad up there for strike one. It'll be two balls and a strike for Collins. Here's the pitch. Swung on and bounced over down the third baseline. It'll be foul. Count quickly moves to two balls and two strikes. Again, it's odd that we see a pitcher hitting for himself. Typically, from all of these Colt 45's opponents, we've seen a designated hitter, but like I said, the Grizzlies don't have a lot of people in that dugout. Here's the 2-2. Grounded up the middle. Kumai, he's got it. He'll throw on the run over to first for out number one. Nice play from Kumai there. And that'll bring around the top of the Grizzlies' order now. It'll be Rodriguez once again. But, as I was saying, when I say not many people in that Grizzlies dugout, I mean by that zero. They have nobody. I don't think they have a single substitution on the bench tonight. So now the pitch to Rodriguez is going to be swung on and grounded to the left side. Diving is Jeffries. He misses it. Now Camacho's got it, and he'll throw over to first in time for out number two. And Rodriguez quickly goes down, rounding out. That was a nice play from Camacho. Jeffries laid out completely for that ball, just missed it. Luckily, Camacho was right behind him, picked it up, threw on the run. Now it'll be DeVittorio, the shortstop. He watches a fastball go by low for ball one. It'll be a 1-0 count. Again, Irvine working very quickly. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. DeVittorio looked like he wanted to swing, but couldn't quite make up his mind fast enough. 1-1 pitch now on its way. Curveball. It'll miss. Ball two. Count will be two balls and a strike to DeVittorio. Here's the 2-1 pitch. Swung on and lifted into deep left field. Going over is Blake Tweed, and he will reach out and make the catch on the run. Nice play there from Blake Tweet. Saves a hit for Connor Irvine and takes us to the bottom of the third inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45's baseball. They have been servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry at 3081 Crossroads Drive, so give them a call, 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the third inning. Jonathan Kumai in that number nine spot is coming up to the plate against Collins as he watches a fastball go by outside for ball one. Now, with nobody on that bench for the Grizzlies, it's got me wondering who they're going to have to come in and relieve as Camacho swings one and skies it into right center. Coming over is the right fielder. He'll make the catch. That's Jordan Scott. And Kumai is quickly put away on the shallow flyout. As I was saying, however, Collins on the mound. Again, like I said, I believe they're so short, they're having their coach, Brandon Owens, play first base. And, well, does raise the question, who's going to come in to relieve? Now, Camacho coming up. He's going to swing at a fastball outside for strike one. They might be planning on throwing Collins the whole game as they did Keyshawn Martin last night. He's been efficient so far. Here's the 0-1 now to Camacho. It's going to be a breaking ball in the dirt for ball one. Count will be evened up at a ball and a strike. Collins sets up again. 1-1 pitch. Here it is. Swung on and grounded sharply to the third baseman, Leon. He's going to bounce it off the chest, and it'll go into foul territory. Running over for the ball is going to be the shortstop, DeVittorio, and Camacho will be in there at second. So Camacho reaches on an error. It was a nice hard-hit bouncing ball that Leon just couldn't quite square up. It bounces off of his chest and pretty deep into foul territory. DeVittorio having to run a long ways to get that ball. And now with a runner on second, it'll be one out for Kyle Norton. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball, ball one. Camacho stole third the last time he was at second. He's already got two stolen bases tonight. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into deep right center field. Going back is the center fielder Kaufman, and he will not make the catch. Rounding third and headed for home now is Camacho. He will go in standing up as Kyle Norton is in there with a RBI double. Kaufman really gave everything on that play. He was hustling back there and gave full extension from his glove, but ultimately wasn't able to quite make the catch. And now Bryce Tweed will come out with a one-on-one out situation. Tweed now shoots one foul over to the right side. There was some serious velocity behind that one. Unfortunately, it goes way foul. It'll be an 0-1 count to Tweed. Tweed reached on a fielder's choice his last at-bat. Now the 0-1 pitch. Curveball will not quite catch the outside corner. Count will even up at a ball and a strike for Tweed. So the Colts strike first here. They're up 1-0. Kyle Norton on second. Here's the pitch to Tweed. Fastball, a little low, but called, strike two. Tweed kind of rolls his eyes at that one. He didn't think it was a strike. But now he'll step back into the box. Norton leads off a second. Here comes the pitch. Outside fastball, ball two. Kind of evened up. He evened up it. Two balls and two strikes. Norton again leading off of second. Bryce Tweed steps into the box. Once again, 2-2 pitch on its way. Swing and a miss in the dirt. Tweed headed over to first. There will be a throw over. That'll let Norton advance to third. So even though he struck out, Tweed does a good job there of hustling over to first and making sure he forced a throw, allowing Norton to move over to third. That'll bring up Derek Ray now. Ray struck out in his first at-bat. Now first pitch to him is going to be into his left arm. And now he throws his bat, heading over to first, and that one looked like it almost struck the bat boy. A little bit confused at what happened there. I think Ray was just getting a little hyped that he got on base and then threw his bat over. And, well, either way, it's going to be Blake Tweed coming up as he takes the first pitch fastball in there for strike one. Again, runners at the corners for the Colt 45s. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Ray goes. Tweed skies one into center field. Under it is Kaufman, and he will make the catch for route number three. So Colt 45s score one. However, they strand one as well. That'll bring us to the top of the fourth as the Grizzlies will try to catch up. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45s baseball. Give them a call at 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here. It's the top of the fourth inning at Tiger Field, Reading Colt 45s versus the East Bay Grizzlies. 45s were able to score a run last inning and make it a 1-0 ball game here. As we head into the top of the fourth, it'll be the center fielder Tyler Kaufman coming up to lead off for the Grizzlies, trying to even this game up. Connor Irvine back out onto the mound for the Colt 45s. He's thrown three scoreless so far. See if he can make it four. Here's the pitch. Inside fastball. It'll be ball one. Kaufman starts off with a 1-0 count. That will step back into the box. 1-0 pitch. Here it is. And it's going to come in high, and ducking under it is Kaufman, but it'll hit him in the back. That one could have been bad. It looked like it was headed straight for his neck. However, he kind of stuck his back up and lowered his head down. And instead, it strikes him in the back. So it'll be a 0-0 count to Juan Leon with Kaufman leading off of first now. Here's the pitch. It's going to be a ground ball over to the right side in the gap for a base hit. Kaufman is going to round second but hold up as Connor Irvine allows two quick base runners. And now we'll see Jordan Scott, the right fielder, come up to the plate. Scott grounded out in his first at-bat. Now Irvine setting up with runners on first and second. Here's the pitch. Scott showing bunt, and he will not be able to make contact. Nice curveball there. Fooled Scott, and he wasn't really sure where he wanted to put the bat. Said it'll be an 0-1 count to him now. Here's the pitch. In the dirt. Mendoza blocks it. Runners go. Throw over to third is going to be not in time. That one looked like it got Mendoza in kind of a rough spot. He's kind of grabbing at his chest protector. Looks like he's in a little bit of pain. Now the home plate umpire will call time and run a new ball out to Connor Irvine. Give Mateo a little bit of time to recover. He did a great job of blocking that ball and then getting up to make a throw over to third. Unfortunately, you could tell he was a little hurt. Cost him just about a second. And that was a little too long as Kaufman was able to slide into third safely. Leon, who's at first, also made it to second. So now with no outs, it'll be runners on second and third. 1-1 pitch to Scott. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Scott will be looking at a 1-2 count now. Entire infield playing in here on the grass. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. That one hits a car, and the alarm is going off. So that's the first time we've actually heard a car alarm go off this season. It's kind of entertaining. Here's the 1-2 pitch now. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Curveball completely fools Jordan Scott, and he swings but doesn't really come close to making contact. And that'll bring up Geno Hutchinson. That car alarm's still going off out there in the parking lot as Geno Hutchinson comes up to the plate. Hutchinson has one of the few singles here tonight for the Grizzlies. He's 1-for-1 so far. Now the pitch, curveball, it's going to be a little too low. It'll be a ball and no strikes to Geno Hutchinson. Irvine sets up. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. It was right around the knees of Hutchinson. So with runners on second and third, Hutchinson will look for a second hit of the night. Try to get a couple of RBIs with it. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. In the dirt. Mendoza, phenomenal block there. Keeps it in front. Holds the runners on. Count will be a ball and two strikes. That was a nice curveball from Irvine. As he takes a little walk before heading back up to the rubber. Now he'll step up. Hutchinson steps in. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So Irvine allowing two quick base runners and facing that second and third no out situation, puts down the next two on strikeouts. And I'm very sorry, I had to sneeze there for a second. That hit me like a truck. But it'll be Brandon Owens now with two outs and runners on second and third. Here's the pitch to Owens. Going to be a fastball in there for strike one. Owens in his last at bat struck out on three straight strikes. Looked at all of them. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike two. That sort of looked like a slow pitch softball swing. It'll be an 0-2 count now to Owens. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Takes it for ball one. Irvine sets up again. He shakes off a sign. He'll take this one. 1-2 pitch. Here it is. Swing and a miss. It's going to go to the backstop, however. Owens running over to first. The throw from Mendoza will be in time, so Irvine will get the strikeout. Again, the Grizzlies threaten having two runners on with no outs, but Irvine shuts him down. That brings us to the bottom of the fourth. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. They're a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. Call 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the bottom of the fourth inning here at Tiger Field. Again, it's East Bay Grizzlies versus your Reading Colt 45s. Collins is going to come back out onto the mound for the fourth inning. He gave up one run in his last inning, and now we'll look to shut down the Colt 45s further. It's going to be Mateo Mendoza coming up to the plate. Mendoza flew out in his first at-bat. He steps in. Collins takes his sign. Now sets up. Here's the pitch. Fastball outside for ball one. It'll be a 1-0 count to Mendoza. Now the home plate umpire is going to call time. He's going to ask the pitcher to throw in his ball. And they're going to throw out a new one now. So the count will be a ball and no strikes to Mateo Mendoza as he steps back into the box. Collins gets his sign, sets up. Here's the pitch. It's going to hit Mendoza in the back. So Mendoza gets a free base. He'll head on over to first. So the second batter Collins has hit in this game was Derek Ray, the last one. I was just actually two at-bats ago for the Colt 45s, and now it'll bring up Peyton Jeffries. Jeffries 1-for-1 on the night so far. Looking to make that 2-for-2 with Mendoza leading off there at first. Here comes the pitch from Collins. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Again, that slow fastball from Collins. Hard to get timed up. Jeffries proves it there. way early on that one. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Curveball that time. It'll fall outside of the strike zone for ball one. The count will be evened up at a ball and a strike. Jeffries sets up in the box. Here's the pitch. Inside fastball, little two inside there. It'll be two balls and a strike. Collins once again setting up, 2-1 pitch on its way. Swung on and driven deep into right center field. Going back is Kaufman. He will not get there. It's going to go all the way to the wall. Mendoza rounding third now. He's going to head for home. There will be a play at the plate, and the throw is going to be not in time, high, and the catcher, Reeder, drops it. So Peyton Jeffries gets himself an RBI double. The Grizzlies definitely had a chance at that play at home. The throw was going to be in time. However, it was just very high and offline, causing the catcher Reeder to have to jump up for it. Throw came from the second baseman, Geno Hutchinson. If he had been able to throw a strike in there, they would have gotten him for sure. Now Jeffries leading off of second. Giacomo Crosetti fouls one off down the third baseline. Score becomes 2-0. Collins still looking for his first out of the inning. Crosetti sets up in the box. Here comes the 0-1 from Collins. In the dirt, blocked by Reeder, Jeffries will hold up. Count will even up at a ball and a strike. Jeffries takes his lead. Here's the pitch from Collins. Again in the dirt. Now Jeffries takes a step over to third, quickly returns over to second. Reeder tries to backpick him, but doesn't have the arm for it. Ball will take a hop before reaching second, and Jeffries is back in easily. Count remains, or sorry, becomes two balls and a strike for Crosetti. Here's the pitch. High fastball, and the count will become now three balls and a strike. Collins struggling to find his rhythm here in the bottom of the fourth. Here's the 3-1 pitch. Swung on and drilled into left field for a base hit. Jeffries heads over to third. He'll hold up there. And Crosetti has himself a single. So that'll bring up Jonathan Kumai now. Kumai 0 for 1 so far on the night. He has flown out in his first at bat. Now he'll have runners at the corners with no outs. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. In there for strike one. Collins once again looks in. Takes his sign. 0-1 on its way. Fastball. Not quite in the strike zone that time. It was a little inside. Kind of be evened up at a ball and a strike. Again, Collins really just struggling to find his rhythm here. 1-1 pitch now. Swung on and lifted into left field. That one's going to fall for a base hit, and it's going to kick off of the shin of Kaufman and get away from him. Now Crosetti coming around third. He's going to head for home. There will be no throw to the plate, and two runs will score. So a single there from Jonathan Kumai turns into a little league double and scores two runs, one of them coming from first. Good hustle from Crosetti there, scoring all the way from first, and that'll make the score here in the bottom of the fourth 4-0 with a runner on second. Collins still having yet to find his first out as Arive Camacho comes up to the plate. Camacho takes a strike. Collins setting up now. Here's the 0-1. Swung on and popped straight back up into the stands. That one bounces back and nearly hits a fan. Thankfully, it ultimately will not. The count will be no balls and two strikes to Arive Camacho. And now, looks like we've got a player down here for the Grizzlies. It looks like it's actually going to be Collins. I think Collins coming off the mound and chasing after that pop-up. He thought it might fall fair and was trying to come make a play on it. Looked like he had maybe twisted an ankle or something. However, with no pitching reserves, Collins will have to go back out onto the mound. He's just going to try to walk that one off. Now he'll get a few warm-up pitches to make sure he's okay. Again, the Grizzlies already have their coach playing first base, so I imagine if even one more of them gets injured, they would not be able to finish this game out. So now we're just waiting here for Collins to finish up his warm-ups, and he will quickly. Camacho going to head back up to the box now. He'll be looking at an 0-2 count. Again, Jonathan Kumai leading off of second over there. Camacho in the box. Collins gets his sign. 0-2 pitch, here it is. In the dirt. It's going to kind of skirt away from Reeder, but just a couple of feet. Reeder having a little trouble squaring up those balls in the dirt tonight. It'll be a 1-2 count now to Camacho. Collins once again gets his sign. Sets up. Here's the pitch. Again in the dirt. Reeder will block that one. Count will become 2 balls and 2 strikes. Collins struggling to find the strike zone here. Probably more than he has in any other inning. When he does, he's kind of just floating it right out there for the 45s. Here's the 2-2 pitch. Outside, it's going to nick off of the glove of Reeder and go all the way to the backstop. Count will become full, so Camacho comes back after going down 0-2 quickly. Now with 3 balls and 2 strikes and no outs, Kumai will be on third. Collins sets up, infield playing in. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the shortstop, Divitorio. He dives and makes the play. Throw over to first is in time. So a really nice play from Divitorio playing in on that infield grass. Camacho hit a line shot over there to the left side, and Divitorio is able to lay out and grab it. So that'll get Collins at least one out as Kyle Norton comes out to the plate. Norton is 1-for-2 so far. Here's the pitch. It's going to be a high fastball. Ball one. Again, Kumai leading off of third. Collins once again sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on up the middle. Again, fielded by Divitorio. Throw over to first in time. So a couple of plays by Divitorio. Gets Collins a couple of outs, and now he's on the verge of getting out of this inning as Bryce Tweet comes out to the plate. Tweet has been in just a tad bit of a slump these past few games. He's 0-for-8 in his last 8 at-bats. He'll be looking to break the slump here as he steps into the box. Here comes the pitch from Collins. Going to be an outside fastball, a little too outside. It'll be a ball and no strikes to Bryce Tweed. Tweed takes a deep breath before stepping in. Here comes the pitch. Fastball, again, a little too outside. It'll be 2 balls and no strikes to Tweed. Now Collins setting up again. Here's the 2-0 pitch. Swung on and lined on the ground to the right side. It'll be a foul ball. Count's going to move over to 2 balls and a strike. Tweed, taking a deep breath before stepping back into the box. Collins takes his sign, sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, up the middle, base hit. And it looks like that one caught maybe off of the foot of Collins. He tried to jump up to avoid getting hit by that one. I think it still might have scraped off the bottom of his foot. Kumai will score. That'll make it a 5-0 ball game here as Tweed breaks that hitless streak with an RBI single. Derek Ray now coming up to the plate. Ray is 0-1. He was hit by a pitch in his last plate appearance. Now with two outs and a runner on first, he's going to tap one lightly to the right side. Collins fields it, and he'll toss over to first for out number three. So Colt 45 score four. They make this a 5-0 ball game here in the bottom of the fourth. That'll bring us to the top of the fifth, where the the East Bay Grizzlies look to strike back. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. They're a major supplier of electrical and electronic products for the industrial and construction markets. Call 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
The official meeting of the Business to Business meeting is called to order. Business to Business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the top of the fifth. It's going to be Connor Irvine back out onto the mound for the Colt 45s. He's thrown four scoreless so far. He'll be looking for a fifth here. It's going to be the catcher Reeder coming up to the plate. He's 0-1 so far on the night. He'll look to try and help chip away at this five-run deficit. Now Camacho looks like he's going to need to retie his shoe over there at shortstop. And now as Irvine sets up, Camacho just now putting his glove on. Here's the pitch. It's going to be swung on and fouled straight back into the plate for a foul ball. It'll be no balls and a strike. Reeder stepping into the box. 0-1 pitch from Irvine on its way. Curveball, a little low and away for ball one. It'll be a ball and a strike to Reeder now. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the parking lot for strike two. Count will become a ball and two strikes to Reeder. Now Irvine shakes off a sign. Here's this one. 1-2. Ground ball down the third baseline. It'll be foul. Count remains a ball and two strikes. Irvine gets the ball back now. Heads back up onto the rubber. Gets set. Here's the 1-2 pitch for the second time. Swung on again. Fouled back into the net. As Reeder continues to battle here with two strikes. Irvine back on the rubber. 1-2 pitch. Here it comes. Curveball. That one got away from Irvine just a little bit. Count will become two balls and two strikes. Now Reeder going to foul off another one to the right side. Count will remain again two balls and two strikes. And Reeder is really fighting off Irvine's pitching right now. 2-2 count. Here's the pitch. And umpire's going to give time to Reeder. Right as Irvine was starting his motion. Now the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and grounded to the third baseman, Jeffries. Jeffries has it. He'll throw to first for out number one. So Jeffries, maybe not the best glove over there at third. However, he's very solid with the glove. That's not really a bash on his defense at all. I say that only because Wyatt Reginato, who typically plays for third base for the Colts, has a phenomenal glove over there at third. He's been making plays all season for him. But anyways, to finish my thought, although Jeffries does not have maybe quite as good a glove as Reginato, his arm is phenomenal, maybe the best of the infield here for the Colt 45s. Now a 1-1 pitch to the pitcher Collins is going to be swung on and missed for strike two. It'll be a ball and a strike for Collins. Now the 1-2 pitch is going to be a high fastball. Count will be evened up at 2 balls and 2 strikes. Now the 2-2 pitch. In the dirt, ball three. Count will be filled up now. Once again, Irvine steps up onto the rubber. Now Collins will ask for time, and he'll get it. Irvine does not move. Now the minute Collins steps back into the box, he's going to deliver. It's going to be popped straight up into right field. Giacomo Crosetti comes in and makes the catch. And a nice job from Irvine there, not letting that time call phase him and getting the out from the pitcher, Collins. Now it'll be Rodriguez coming up to the plate. Rodriguez is 0 for 2 on the night. Strike out and a ground out. He'll be looking for his first hit. Irvine shakes off the sign from Mendoza. He'll take this one. Here's a pitch. Curveball. Not quite in there. It'll be a ball and no strikes. Now the 1-0 pitch. Here it is. Swing and a miss. High fastball there. Rodriguez went after it and chased. Count will be evened up at a ball and a strike. Now the 1-1 pitch. Here comes. It's going to be fouled lightly over to the right side. Count will become a ball and two strikes. Rodriguez steps back into the box. Irvine comes set. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Irvine with a nice 1-2-3 inning sends us to the bottom of the fifth, where the Colt 45s look to extend that 5-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45s baseball in servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry. Call 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to the bottom of the fifth inning. It's going to be Blake Tweet coming up to the plate for the third time tonight. He's 0 for 2 so far. Strikeout and a flyout. He'll be looking to help extend this 5-run lead for the Colt 45s. Collins still up there on the mound. Like I said earlier, the Grizzlies don't really have any reserves over there in the dugout. So now the first pitch to Tweed is going to be skied straight back into the stands. Lands right next to the PA booth. It'll be no balls and a strike to Blake Tweed. Collins steps back up onto the rubber. Interestingly enough, he's pitching from the stretch. Here's the pitch. Swung on and drilled into the left field for a single. Now, maybe I just haven't been paying close enough attention, but I didn't think Collins had been pitching from the stretch with nobody on throughout the first part of the game. Perhaps I was wrong. Perhaps he just pitches out of the stretch consistently. Anyway, Tweet's got his first hit of the night, and now Mateo Mendoza is going to come up to the plate for the third time. Mendoza 0 for 1, also looking for his first hit. Tweed goes on the pitch. However, it's going to be fouled back into the parking lot. That one narrowly misses a car. The count will be no balls and a strike to Mateo Mendoza. Collins now throws back over to first. Tweed slides back in there, sliding easily. Collins subs back up onto the rubber. Now comes set. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Now the catcher Reader going to try to backpick Tweed at first. Tweed again gets back there pretty easily. Count will be a ball and a strike to Mateo Mendoza. Here's the pitch now. It's going to be outside in the dirt, picked by the catcher Reader. Count will be two balls and a strike to Mendoza now. He steps in the box. Coming set is Collins. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Foul ball to the right side into the net. So once again, Blake Tweed tries to steal, but is thwarted by a foul ball. Count becomes two balls and two strikes. Collins back there up on the rubber. Tweed leading off once again as Mendoza steps into the box. Sitting up is Collins. Here's the pitch. Runner goes again. It's going to be in the dirt. There will be no throw. Count will become three balls and two strikes as Blake Tweed steals second base. And now Mateo Mendoza is looking at a full count. Collins sets up. Runner on second. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, ball four. So Collins, after struggling quite a bit last inning, giving up four, seems to be doing the same here in the bottom of the fifth. So he's allowed two consecutive runners without getting an out. It's going to be Peyton Jeffries up to the plate. Jeffries is two for two tonight. He's got a single as well as an RBI double, looking to continue that hot streak now with no outs and runners on first and second. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, it'll be a ball and no strikes now to Jeffries. Collins has been in the dirt quite a few times this inning. Now the 1-0 pitch. Tweed goes. Throw down the third is going to be not in time. Tweed slides in there. Nice throw from the catcher Reader. However, it was a little high. And Leon can't get the tag down in time. He'll be runners at second and third now for the Colt 45s. Jeffries looks at a 1-1 count. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on down the third baseline. It'll be a base hit. Tweed will score. Holding up is Mendoza, and Jeffries heads into second. So it's an RBI double again for Peyton Jeffries. As Giacomo Crescetti comes up to the plate, Crescetti is 1-for-2 on the night. Score will become 6-0, as again, runners will be on second and third. Here comes the pitch to Crescetti. It's going to be a high fastball outside for ball one. Here in these later innings, Collins just has seemingly kind of fallen apart. Here's the pitch. Swing on. Again, skied straight back behind the stands and into the parking lot. Count will be in a ball and a strike. You can tell Collins out there on the mound, his arm is just getting tired. This is his fifth straight inning. Sets up again. Entire infield is in. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike two. Again, the Grizzlies have yet to get an out so far in this inning. They've got a run scored already, and runners on second and third. 1-2 count to Crisetti. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and skied straight up into the air. Owens calls for it, but now second baseman Hutchinson calls him off and makes the catch for out number one. Crisetti goes down. And now that'll bring up Jonathan Kumai. Kumai is 1-for-2 so far tonight with a two-run single. Here's the pitch. Check swing, high fastball. They say he went around. There'll be no balls and a strike to start off Kumai. He again steps into the box. Now the pitch. Swung on and lifted into right field. Coming in is Scott. He'll make the catch. There will be no tag up. It was just a shallow line shot out there into right. And Kumai is put away once again. So now Reeve Camacho, who is 1-for-3 on the night, will come up to the plate, bringing around the top of the order. Again, the Colt 45s have runners on second and third. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on. Skied straight back into, not quite into the parking lot. It's going to fall on top of our ticket booth, which is covered, thankfully. The count will be no balls and a strike to Reeve Camacho. Here's the pitch. Inside curveball. It'll miss the zone for ball one. It'll be a ball and a strike to Reeve Camacho now. Collins sets up. Here's the pitch. Curveball swung on and drilled on the ground to the left side. Picking it up is DiVittorio. He'll throw to first. Not in time. I mean, it was in time. However, the first baseman, Owens, was not on first base.
Next batter up, first baseman, number 25. Kyle
Norton. Phenomenal play from DiVittorio. Unfortunately, he's not going to get the out of it. And Collins is going to be forced to go through another batter as a run scores on that one. DiVittorio really laid himself out for that one. Going full extension on the ground to get that ball. I didn't think he had a chance, but made a nice throw as well. Now it's going to be Cal Norton for the fourth time. Norton looking at a 1-0 count. Here's the pitch. Swung on into right field. Oh, it's going to go just foul. It's a nice line shot over there. Just cut to the right a little too much. Count will be a ball and a strike for Kyle Norton. Norton is 1-for-3 tonight with an RBI double. And I think it's fair to say that the Colt 45s have kind of broken this one open. Well, I shouldn't say that. They lead 7-0. However, we have seen the Colt 45s blow a 7-run lead already in the season. Now with runners on first and third, the 1-1 pitch. Now, it's not commonplace. I mean, typically when the Colt 45s have a lead, they keep it. But I wouldn't say it's impossible for the Grizzlies to come back. Now, the 2-1 to Norton. It's going to be up the middle, fielded by Hutchinson. He'll toss over to second for the out. And that'll bring us to the top of the sixth. Colt 45s lead 7-0. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45s baseball and servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry. Give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane.
It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the top of the sixth inning. We're going to have a new pitcher out onto the mound for the Colt 45s after Connor Irvine threw five scoreless for us. It looks like it's going to be David Salters, the 6'3 junior out of Oklahoma Baptist University. Salters, always a reliable arm up there on the mound for the Colt 45s. So it'll be Rodriguez, that number one spot, bringing the order back around for the Grizzlies as they look to chip away at that 7-0 lead. Now the 45s shut out the Grizzlies last night, and this game keeps going the way it's been going. It looks like they might be able to do the same thing again here tonight. Salters now throws his last warm-up pitch and heads back up to the rubber to face off against Rodriguez. Actually, it's not going to be Rodriguez. It's going to be Divitorio. My apologies. So Divitorio will see his first pitch. Here it comes. It's going to be spiked in the dirt for ball one. One-oh pitch on its way. Here it is. Swung on and lifted into left field. That one's going to fall just foul. Divitorio probably would have had extra bases on that one had it fallen fair. Unfortunately, he's not going to get anything out of it but a strike. The count's going to move over to 1-1. Now Salters back up on the rubber. Here comes the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled straight down into the ground for strike two. It'll be a ball on a strike for Divitorio. Salters again comes set. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swung on and bounced straight up the middle. Camacho coming over. He's got it. Throw over to first is going to be in time. And I apologize. That is not Arive Camacho over there at shortstop. It's actually Jonathan Kumai. He makes a nice play. I don't know what happened, but it looks like Kumai has moved over to short. I believe Isaiah Cortez is in at second base now. Jeffries looks to still be at third. It'll be Taylor Coffin coming up to the plate, and he's going to see a fastball in there for strike one. So it looks like Camacho is out of the game for some reason. Comes the 0-1 pitch. It's going to be outside fastball for ball one. It'll be a ball and a strike now to Taylor Coffin. Here comes the pitch. In the dirt, ball two. So now a 2-1 count to Kaufman. Kaufman 0 for 1 on the night so far. He's also hit by a pitch in his last plate appearance. Here comes the 2-1 from Salters. No, he's going to step off, actually. Now he'll step back up onto the rubber. And here comes the 2-1 from Salters. Fastball swung on and bounced to the left side, just foul. Count will be evened up at a couple of balls and a couple of strikes. Kaufman stepping back into the box once again. 2-2 pitch, now on its way. Here it comes. In the dirt, ball three. Count will fill up. Coffin steps into the box. Salters on the mound sets up. 3-2. Here it is. Curveball swung on and fouled straight back. Nice job of Coffin there. Just getting a piece of that one and staying alive. The count will remain 3-2 as Kaufman steps back into the box. And once again, here comes the payoff pitch. Fastball just a bit outside for ball four. So Kaufman does a nice job of battling, gets himself aboard to first base, and that'll bring up Juan León for the third time. León is 1-for-2 with a single tonight. Be looking to do a job here with a runner on first. Setting up is Salters. Here's the pitch. Low in the dirt for ball one. Salters takes his sign. 1-0 pitch. Now he's going to throw over to first. And they got him. They got Kaufman. Now, I don't know about that. That looked like it could have been called a balk to me. I mean, he looked like he was dedicated to the plate. But there will be no balk called. Kaufman will head back to the dugout, and it will be 2 outs for León as he fouls a fastball back into the net. Now he'll be looking at a 1-1 count. Salters, now back up onto the river, gets a sign. Here comes the pitch. Curveball, little outside. The count will be full at 3-2 once again. As León steps in. Salters again takes his sign. Here's the pitch. Fastball outside, ball four. So again, Salters walks a batter, and now that'll bring up Jordan Scott. Now this game was really chugging along here for the first, say, 4 innings. And just in this past inning and a half, 2 innings, is really, really slowed down. Salters throws to Jordan Scott. It's going to be in the dirt. Skirts away from Mendoza. León heads on over to second. But really, it can be attributed to just the rhythm of the pitchers. Connor Irvine, the starter for the Colt 45s, really fast-paced. Did not waste a lot of time up there on the mound. Now Salters delivers a fastball that's fouled back into the net for strike one. But in contrast, Salters is very, very slow. Takes a lot of time before each pitch up there on the rubber. Now it'll be a 1-1 count to Jordan Scott. Salters sits up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and bounced to the third baseman, Jeffries. Jeffries has it, now throws to first. In time for out number three. And just like that, that'll bring us to the bottom of the sixth inning. Colt 45s look to extend that 7-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing. at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45's baseball and servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry. Call them at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500. North Valley Distributing.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune into Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to the bottom of the sixth inning. It is going to be a new pitcher out onto the mound for the East Bay Grizzlies. It'll be Jordan Scott, who was playing right field for the Grizzlies up there on the rubber. It looks like Collins just made a direct switch and headed out there to right field himself. Again, the Grizzlies have nobody in their reserves for this game. They're just playing with what they've got. It's going to be Bryce Tweed coming up for the fourth time tonight. Tweed is 1-for-3 so far. He had an RBI single in his last at-bat. But first, we're going to see a few more warm-up pitches from Jordan Scott. Now, the Colts lead here 7-0 in the bottom of the sixth, and the Grizzlies really haven't threatened much at all at the plate tonight. I believe they had runners in scoring position for maybe two innings, but since then have really not threatened at all. They have yet to score a run. As I mentioned, they did not score any runs last night against the two Colt 45's pitchers, Isaac Horsman and Caden Nichols. Now, Jordan Scott, after a particularly long warm-up session here prior to the bottom of the sixth, will finish up, and he's looking a little erratic out there on the mound. Anyways, Bryce Tweet will stride up to the plate. And step in. Nichols adjusting his shoes or something before setting up on the rubber.
That will be number seven. That will be Jordan Scott coming in pitching again for the Grizzlies.
So Scott now finally has the ball and steps up onto the rubber. Tweed in the box. Here comes pitch number one. Fastball, high and away. Ball one. So Scott showing a little higher velocity than Collins. However, through his warm-ups and after that first pitch, not quite as much control. When he'll pitch to Tweed, is going to be low, but in there for strike one. The count will be evened up now at a ball and a strike to Bryce Tweed. Skinny steps back into the box. 1-1 pitch now on its way. Low fastball. Called for a ball. Again, it'll be two balls and a strike now. Two-one pitch now to Tweed on its way. Swing and a miss. High fastball there. Tweed chases. I'm leaving up the count at two balls and two strikes. Now Tweed will adjust his batting gloves before stepping back into the box. Scott sets up, now delivers. High fastball, called, ball three. Count will fill up now for Tweed. Scott looking for the first out of the inning. Tweed looking to lead things off here. Payoff pitch on its way. Swung on and fouled back behind the stands. Tweed stays alive here with two strikes. Now he'll face a 3-2 count for the second time as he steps into the box. Scott now delivering. Here's the pitch. Swung on and drilled into deep center field. Going back is Kaufman. Still going back is Kaufman, and that one is gone. Bryce Tweed, solo shot into left center field, and that was no short one there. I mean, he sure got a hold of that pitch and sends it deep out there into left center field to the right of the scoreboard for a long home run. And Tweed now makes it an 8-0 ball game here in the bottom of the sixth inning. That'll bring up Derek Ray. Ray watches a fastball go by high and inside for ball one. Man, that was just an absolute shot. 1-0 pitch now to Ray. Swing and a miss, strike one. So it'll be a 1-1 count to Ray now. Here's the pitch. Way high fastball. Goes over the glove of the catcher Reeder for ball two. The count will be two balls and a strike. Not the way Scott wanted to start off his outing with that solo shot from Tweed. But now he'll look to get his first out of the inning. 2-1 pitch. Here it is. In the dirt. Ball three. So it'll be a 3-1 count now to Ray. Scott sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted high and foul over to the right side. That'll make the count full. 3 balls and 2 strikes. Ray now stepping back into the box. Scott with his second consecutive 3-2 count. Here's the pitch. High fastball, ball four. So again, Scott loses the battle. However, this time instead of four bases, he gives up just one as Ray heads over to first. That'll bring up Blake Tweed now. Tweed is 1-for-3 so far on the night. Now steps into the box with Ray over there at first.
Number 7, Ray Green, now
back. Scott checks Ray over there at first base. Now the pitch. High fastball goes over the head of Reed once again. Sorry, Reeder. And Ray easily heads over to second. Now I think it's pretty fair to say the Colts have blown this one open. It's an 8-0 ball game, and well, the Grizzlies just look defeated out there on the field. Scott with a runner on second, still looking for his first out against Blake Tweed. Here's the 1-0 pitch. Low and inside, ball two. It'll be a 2-0 count to Blake Tweed as Scott sets up. Again, Ray leading off from second. Here's the pitch. Inside fastball for ball three. So the third consecutive batter that Scott has thrown at least 3 balls to. Now these are some long at-bats, and as I said earlier, the difference in pitching that we've seen between the starters and now their relievers really all comes down to the rhythm and how much it's slowed down. 3-0 pitch. Swing and a miss there. Tweed was aiming for the fences. The high fastball wasn't able to make contact with it. The count will become 3 balls and a strike. Scott now looks down and takes his sign, now sets up. 3-1 pitch, here it is. Runner goes. And it's going to be in the dirt. Ray easily takes third. Interestingly enough, Reeder looked like he was jumping out of the way of that pitch, and it ended up deflecting off of his side. Tweed gets on first with a walk. And now it'll be runners at the corners. Again, no outs for Scott. He has given up a home run and now 2 walks to start off this bottom of the sixth inning. So kind of a rough start for him as Mateo Mendoza comes up to the plate. Mendoza 0 for 1. He's also been hit by a pitch and walked tonight. Scott setting up. Here's the pitch. Now runner at first goes. Swing and a miss. Throw down to second is going to be not in time. Tweed will have a stolen base. That's his second of the night. Scott now has a 1-0 count for Mendoza. It'll be runners on second and third, however, no outs. Here's the pitch. High fastball. Count will even up at a ball and a strike. Mendoza steps back into the box. Tweed at second. Ray at third. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. The count will be the ball and 2 strikes now to Mendoza. He's still looking for his first hit of the game. He steps into the box. Scott sets up. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Low and away, ball 2. Scott has maybe one of the slowest deliveries I've seen, even from the stretch. He's got a high leg kick that just seems to move in slow motion down to the plate. 2-2 pitch now. Here it is. Inside, ball 3. So now the 4th consecutive batter that Scott has thrown 3 balls to. And now it's another full count. This is the 3rd time he's seen one in the inning. Here's the pitch. High fastball, ball 4. So Scott, it's his 3rd consecutive walk as Mendoza makes his way to first base, and that'll bring up Peyton Jeffries. It'll be a bases-loaded situation with no outs for Jeffries. Jeffries is 3-for-3 tonight. He's got a couple of doubles, as well as a single and a couple of RBIs to go along with it. Now Scott will set up on the mound. Here comes the pitch to Jeffries. It's going to be a low fastball, ball 1. Scott really struggling with control here in the bottom of the 6. It's been a long inning so far, and we still have yet to get an out. 1-0 pitch, here it comes. High fastball, ball 2. It'll be a 2-0 count for Jeffries now. Scott tosses the ball around in his hand, now steps back up onto the rubber. 2-0 pitch on its way, swung on and lifted into right field. It's going to cut foul. Jeffries kind of got a hold of that one, but sends it foul. The count will become 2 balls and a strike. Jeffries once again makes his way up to the box. 2-1 pitch. Here it is. Swing and a miss. Strike 2. of Scott has Jeffries now in a 2-2 count. Jeffries steps back into the box. 2-2 pitch, here it is. Swung on and fouled into the parking lot. No cars will be hit. Count will remain 2 balls and 2 strikes. Jeffries steps back into the box. Count remains 2 balls and 2 strikes. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. And once again, Jeffries fights one off to stay alive here. Seems determined not to be the first out of the inning. Here in the bottom of the sixth, Colt 45s have already scored one. With no outs, they've got the bases loaded. Scott sets up. Here comes the pitch. Strike three called. Jeffries goes down looking. He's not sure that one was a strike, but he'll head back to the dugout anyways. Scott finally gets his first out of the inning, and that'll bring up now Giacomo Crisetti for the fourth time. Crisetti is 1-for-3 so far on the night. Now, something's going on. I have no idea what, but our first baseman, and also who I believe to be the coach, Brandon Owens, is heading into the dugout. Looks like he's grabbing something. And he is grabbing a new glove for the catcher, Reeder. Not sure why Reeder needed a new glove, but he gets one. Now he'll head back behind the plate. It'll be a bases-loaded situation with one out for Crisetti. The Grizzlies could benefit here from a double play as Crisetti steps in. Here's the pitch. High fastball. It'll be called ball one. Now the 1-0 pitch. Fastball in the outside corner. That one called a strike. It'll be a 1-1 count now to Crisetti. Scott back up on the rubber. 1-1 pitch. Here it is. Low fastball, ball two. So it'll be 2 balls and a strike now from Scott to Crisetti here. The 2-1 pitch, way high. It's going to bounce off the top of the backstop, and it's going to go all the way to the mound. The runners will advance. Scott wasn't paying much attention. And the count moves to 3-1. A run scores. It becomes a 9-0 ball game. I don't know what was going on there. I mean, Scott threw it over the head of his catcher, Reeder, and it went to the backstop. When a pitch like that goes to the backstop, almost always your pitcher is going to be charging downhill, headed home, knowing he might have to cover if the runner takes off. However, Scott had just turned around and was heading back to the mound for some reason. The ball ended up bouncing off the top of the backstop and landing right in front of the mound. However, Scott, with his back turned, just let it fall, and a run scored easily. So now the 3-1 to Crisetti is going to be in the dirt. Reeder can't block it. It'll go behind him. Another run will score, and Crisetti will head to first with a walk. So it's going to become a 10-0 ball game here in the bottom of the sixth, and the wheels have indeed fallen off the bus for the Grizzlies, as Jordan Scott gives up his 4th consecutive walk. It'll be Jonathan Kumai coming up to the plate. Sorry, I said 4th consecutive. I was wrong. Scott did strike out Jeffries 2 batters ago. However, has given up 4 walks around that. Now the pitch to Jeffries in the dirt. And it's going to skirt away once again from Reeder. Crisetti heads easily to second. Reeder just looks like he's given up on trying to block any of these balls in the dirt. He's kind of, well, he's kind of just playing dodgeball with him now, jumping out of the way and sticking out his glove, almost like you'd see a little leaguer do. It'll be a 1-0 count. Here's the pitch to Kumai. Inside fastball, count will become 2 balls and no strikes to Kumai. To a pitch. Swung on and fouled into the foot of Kumai himself. Count will move to 2 balls and a strike. Scott back on the rubber. Here comes the pitch. Again, low, almost in the dirt. Ball 3. So Scott will grab the ball and head back up to the rubber. Now he'll deliver. Here's the pitch. Swung on to the left side, and it's going to be in the hole for a base hit. Kumai gets himself an RBI single. That'll make this an 11-0 ball game. As Isaiah Cortez comes up to the plate. Now Cortez came in for Camacho. In the top of the inning. However, he played second base. Kumai moved on over to short. So indeed, Cortez now will be hitting in that number one spot as he comes up for his first at-bat. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and lifted into left field. However, it'll sway foul. It'll be an 0-1 count to Cortez. Scott so far has given up a home run, 4 walks, and now a base hit. He struck out 1 batter. As Cortez now watches a fastball go by high for ball 1, it'll be a 1-1 count to him. Scott sets up. 1-1 pitch now on its way. Low fastball. Again, below the strike zone, right at the ankles of Cortez for ball 2. Count will be 2 balls and a strike for Isaiah Cortez. And now the 2-1 pitch on its way. And it's going to go way left and past the glove of Reeder to the backstop. However, Crescetti at third will hold up. The count becomes 3-1 for Isaiah Cortez. Again, it's an 11-0 ball game here in the bottom of the 6th, as Scott now sets up. Runners at the corners. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted into shallow right center, and it'll bloop down for a base hit. Crescetti will come in and score. Kumai will head on over to second, and that'll make this a 12-0 ball game, as Cortez gets himself a bloop RBI single here in the bottom of the 6th. Well, it'll be Kyle Norton now coming up to the plate. Norton is 1-for-4 on the night with an RBI double. With runners at first and second, he'll look to maybe get a couple more across. Scott sets up. Here's the pitch. Fastball outside for ball 1. Again, Scott really just having a hard time finding the strike zone. When he does, he's just getting hammered by the bats of the Colt 45s. Now the pitch is going to come in high. Reeder barely gets a hold of it. Count becomes 2 balls and no strikes to Norton. And as I said earlier, this Grizzlies team just seems to become more and more defeated. I don't believe Scott is really actually a pitcher. He was starting in right field tonight as the 2-0 pitch comes in. It's going to be low. It's going to go under the legs of Reeder. And wow, that's really all I can say. I mean, that ball wasn't in the dirt. However, that's probably the 5th or 6th pitch that Reeder has just kind of let go by him so far in this inning. the runners at first and second just decide to hold up. It's 12-0. They don't have anything to go for. 3-0 pitch now in the dirt. Again, going to the backstop, it'll be ball four. Norton draws the fifth walk of the inning for the Colt 45s. And Scott, still looking for his second out, will be dealing with the bases loaded once again as Bryce Tweed, who started off this inning with a solo home run, comes back up to the plate with just one out. So we've gone through now nine batters with just one out. And now the coach and first baseman, Brandon Owens, will call time and talk to Scott. And we're going to have a pitching change. So we'll head over to a quick break. When we come back, it'll be a new pitcher here in the bottom of the sixth.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company, and why Megastar Financial?
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Hey KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the sixth. Still, it's a one-out situation. Bryce Tweed looking at a 0-2 count as he watches a curveball go by in the dirt. It's a new pitcher. It's number 26, Hutchinson, who was playing second base, coming in for the 45s. It looks like they put Scott over there at second to replace Hutchinson. And now Tweed is going to sky one into deep right field. And it is going to bounce off the wall. Stays in the yard. Two runs will score. Holding up at third is Norton. And Tweed has himself a two-run double as this game becomes 14-0 here in the bottom of the seventh. I mean, it was a relatively close game throughout the entire first five innings. And now the Colts have just absolutely broken it open. With one out, runners on first and second, it'll be Nate Scott coming in to hit for Derek Ray. Scott now watches a fastball go by inside for ball one. Here comes the pitch. High fastball, 2-0 count now. Well, Bryce Tweed has broken out of that slump in a big way. And now Scott is going to sky one foul over to the left side. That one had some power behind it. However, I think he might have broken his bat as he's asking for a new one. The count will become two balls and a strike. But as I was saying, Tweed, with that hit, becomes 3-for-3 in his last three at-bats. After going 0-for-8 in the last eight before that, so he's right back in this one. Now the 2-1 pitch to Scott. It's going to come inside and hit him. So Scott heads on over to first, and once again, the bases are loaded for the Colt 45s, and this game is, well, I would call it nothing short of embarrassing at this point. I hate to use such harsh language, but, I mean, the Grizzlies, you can't blame them. They're putting in a good effort for having only eight guys and their coach playing first base, having no pitching in the reserves. But you got to wonder, I mean, why are we even playing right now at this point? It is a 14-0 game with one out and the bases loaded for the Colt 45s. Here's the 1-0 pitch. In the dirt, ball two. I mean, obviously the Grizzlies just have no pitching. The guys that they're bringing in, Scott first, and now Hutchinson, they're position players. They're not pitchers. Now the 2-0 pitch is going to be swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. That one will nail a car. There have been a few of those tonight so far as the count becomes two balls and a strike for Blake Tweed. Now a ball is going to go in the dirt, and again it skirts away from Reeder. The runners will hold because why not, I suppose. Oh, boy. This has just not been a good game so far after this inning. I mean, it was a good game leading up to this inning, and then here it has just fallen apart after Collins left the game. Now the 3-1 pitch to Tweed. In there for strike two. Count will fill up now at 3-2. Tweed steps back into the box. Here comes the pitch. And it hits him. So, two consecutive hit batters here, and that'll score another run. The score becomes 15-0 as we head to Mateo Mendoza. Mendoza is 0-for-1. He's been hit by a pitch and walked twice. And now, with the base is still loaded, Mendoza will look to extend this 15-run lead. This is, so far, the biggest blowout we've seen of the season. We've seen some big ones so far. I think 14 runs was the previous record of the season. And now Mendoza will take a fastball up and away for ball one. Now the 1-0 pitch. Here it comes. High fastball. 2-0 count to Mendoza. Mendoza sits up on the rubber. Sorry. Hutchinson. And now Mendoza skies one into left center. That one's going deep. However, it will be caught by the left fielder, Rodriguez. A run will score on sac fly. So it becomes a 16-0 game. However, Hutchinson finally gets the second out of the inning. And now Peyton Jeffries comes up to the plate for the second time this inning. Jeffries was the first out of the inning, actually, striking out against Scott. Now against Hutchinson, he's going to watch a fastball go by in there for strike one. He's got runners at first and second now. He's 3-for-4 on the night. And now, Hutchinson sets up again, 0-1 pitch on its way. Here it is. It's going to be low. Count will move to a ball and a strike. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and lifted into deep right field. Going back is the right fielder. I think that's Collins out there, and it'll fall foul. The count will become a ball and two strikes now to Peyton Jeffries. Jeffries will pick up his bat and head back to the box. Now he steps in. Hutchinson takes his sign, sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on, again, driven into foul territory on the right side. And Jeffries is really getting a hold of these pitches. However, he's just not quite able to straighten them out. The count will remain a ball and two strikes. Jeffries steps back into the box. Hutchinson shakes off a sign. 1-2 pitch on its way. Strike three called. High fastball. Jeffries has sat down for the second time in the inning. And that'll send us to the top of the seventh. Tonight in our third base club VIP pavilion, we would like to welcome Reyes Coca-Cola Bottling of Reading and Eureka. With the help of dedicated employees, Coca-Cola, along with its wide portfolio of beverages, has been helping quench the thirst of the North State consumers for decades. There's nothing better than a baseball game, food, and a nice cold Coca-Cola. So share a Coke with someone you love and go Colt 45s.
Green Bear, your friendly oil change. Green Bear and all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the seventh. The Grizzlies look to chip away at this 16-run deficit as David Salters comes back out onto the mound for the second inning. He'll be going up against Hutchinson. Hutchinson is 1-for-2 on the night so far. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike one. It'll be a 1-1 count. Salters stepping back up onto the rubber. Props to the Colt 45's pitching staff tonight. They have done a terrific job shutting out the Grizzlies through six so far. Looking to do it again for a seventh. 1-1 pitch. Here it is. Low fastball in the dirt, ball two. The count will be two balls and a strike to Geno Hutchinson. Here comes the 2-1 pitch. Swing and a miss, strike two. Count will be evened up now at a couple of balls and a couple of strikes as Hutchinson steps back into the box. 2-2 pitch on its way now. In the dirt, ball three. So Salters really through the past inning and now into this one has kind of just gone back and forth. It's like he throws a fastball in the dirt and throws a fastball for a strike, and then another one in the dirt, and then another one for a strike. But now a 3-2 pitch will be swung on and missed for strike three. So Salters does indeed get it done as Brandon Owens, the manager and first baseman, comes up to the plate.
Next batter for the Grizzlies.
Owens not wearing any batting gloves. He's just holding that bat raw. Now the pitch. Fastball. Little outside for ball one. Owens has struck out twice so far in this game. As the coach, I think it's been a while since he's swung a bat. Now the next one is going to be in there for a called strike one. Count will be a ball and a strike to Owens. Here's the pitch. That one will be a low fastball for ball two. And again, like I said, Salters just kind of goes back and forth between a ball and a strike and then a ball and then a strike. And when he throws a strike, it's a really good strike. But when he throws a ball, it's, you know, it's really not even close to the strike zone. So now the pitch is going to be inside, called strike two. Owens looks a little upset at that strike call. It'll be two balls and two strikes for him now. Salters setting up. Here's the pitch. Little low, just a bit. That'll fill up the count now. That was a nice pitch from Salters. Owens has yet to swing in this at-bat. 3-2 pitch now on its way. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So Owens is put away for the third time on a strikeout. And that'll bring up the catcher, Reeder. Salters gets two pretty quick outs for the Colt 45s. Now we'll look to do the same against Reeder. As he sets up on the rubber, here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded lightly to the right side. Picking it up is Norton, hustling over as Salters to cover first. And they'll get the out over there. So, 16-0 remains the score as we head into the bottom of the seventh. Colt 45s look to add on to that 16-0 score. And remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. Give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Alrighty, folks. Well, welcome back here to the bottom of the seventh inning. It's going to be Giacomo Crosetti coming up to the plate up against Geno Hutchinson. Remember, the Colt 45s scored 9 runs last inning. Now, Crosetti will look to lead things off here. So he watches a fastball go above his head for ball one. Score is 16-0 here in the bottom of the seventh. So now Hutchinson delivers a fastball in there for strike one. It'll be a 1-1 count to Crosetti. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike two. Count will be a ball and two strikes for Crosetti. Hutchinson slips back up onto the rubber. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into deep center field. Going back is Kaufman, and he will get under it and make the catch. So a nice piece by Crosetti. Unfortunately, isn't able to do much with it, and that'll become the first out of the inning for the Grizzlies as Jonathan Kumai comes up to the plate. Kumai is 2-for-4 on the night. Couple of RBI singles. Now the pitch to him. Swung on and driven into deep left field. That one's going. It's going. And it is caught at the wall. Nice catch there by the left fielder, Rodriguez. He went all the way to the wall and ended up running into it in order to make that catch. As Kumai goes down, I thought that was a home run for sure, but just doesn't quite get enough on it. As Isaiah Cortez comes up to the plate for the second time. Cortez had an RBI single in his last at-bat. Now he watches a high fastball go by for ball one. So a couple of nice pieces of contact from the Colt 45s. However, two catches make two quick outs for him, as now Cortez sends one into right field for a base hit. Hutchinson probably feeling a little bit lucky that after having given up 9 runs last inning, he's got two quick outs here with just a runner on first. And now the throw in from the outfield is going to miss its cutoff, and it'll skirt away from Hutchinson. And, wow, Cortez will remain at first, but still, I mean, this is the Grizzlies have just given up. I mean, flat out, they just, everything about them as Kyle Norton comes up to the plate. It started with the pitching, when the pitching fell apart with Scott, but now it's just become an entirely defensive-wide thing. Aside from that nice play by Rodriguez out there and left, I mean, well, the entire outfield still seems to be relatively in it, but I don't know, the defense just seems to be completely dead and have given up here. As another ball in the dirt goes by Reeder, he once again fails to block it. Count will be 3 balls and no strikes to Kyle Norton. I mean, I don't think Reeder has even attempted to block a ball in the dirt for at least the past 3 innings. 3-0 pitch now, here it comes. Again, low fastball, ball 4. So with 2 outs, Norton will get his second consecutive walk. It's some really loud music. Comes over the loudspeakers. I mean, I think they lost control of the volume there for a second. And Bryce Tweed will come up to the plate. Tweed, I'm not sure if I should say it because it might jinx it, but I'm going to say it anyways. He is just a triple short of the cycle, which is interesting considering he started this game 0-for-2. But he got a single, a home run, and then in his last at-bat, a 2 RBI double. So now he's going to watch a fastball go by. Hi. Now, if I'm him, up 16 runs here with two outs in the bottom of the seventh. If I get anything that's a double, I am gunning for a triple. Now the pitch, swing and a miss, big swing and a miss. He's definitely trying to get a hold of all of that one. But, I mean, really, up 16-0, what do you have to lose? You might as well try to turn a double into a triple, get that cycle. 1-1 pitch now on its way. High fastball, it'll be two balls and a strike. I think getting walked is the last thing that Tweed wants to do right now. Steps into the box. Hutchinson sets up. Here's the pitch. Low fastball, ball three. So it'll be three balls and a strike now to Bryce Tweed. Hutchinson again on the rubber, sets up. Here's the 3-1 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net for strike two, and the count will fill up. Three balls and two strikes with two outs to Tweed. Hutchinson gets the ball back and steps back up onto the rubber. Now looks down for a sign. Sets up. Payoff pitch. Strike three called. Outside fastball. Everyone in the stands knows it wasn't a strike. I think the umpire himself knows it wasn't either. Tweed kind of said a few words to him, but it was through a smile, so I think he was just kind of telling him he didn't mind. Tweed strikes out, and Hutchinson gets out of it as we head into the top of the eighth, where the Grizzlies look to hopefully get a couple of those 16 runs back. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. Give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to the top of the eighth inning. It's going to be a new pitcher, Jackson Torsey, up out onto the mound for the Colt 45s. David Salters does a nice job coming in for a couple of innings and shutting out the Grizzlies for the more. Now, Torsey will look to continue that shutout as Collins comes up to the plate and watches a first pitch fastball go way outside for ball one. Collins is 0-2 on the night so far. Now Mendoza is going to call time and head out to just have a quick chat with Torsey. I'm wondering if he got crossed up on that pitch. I imagine Torsey, considering he goes through this inning with some level of ease, will come out for the ninth as well and try to close the game out as he now throws another fastball, this time in the dirt for ball two. That's a little interesting. We don't typically see that lack of control from Torsey. It's a 2-0 count to Collins now. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. So he gets a little bit of his control back there. Turns the count to 2-2. Now sets up. 2-1 pitch. Here it is. In the dirt. Ball three. It'll be a 3-1 pitch to Collins now. A 3-1 count, I'm sorry. As Torsey sets up on the rubber once again. Here's the pitch. Fastball in there for strike two. So, Collins has not swung yet at a pitch. Looking at a 3-2 count. Here's the payoff. Strike three called on the outside corner. Nice pitch there from Torsey. Torsey does a good job coming back from that 2-0 hole he was in. As now, Rodriguez brings around the top of the order. Rodriguez is 0-3 tonight. He's looking for his first hit. Here comes the pitch from Torsey. Swung on and fouls back into the glove of Mendoza, and it looks like it hit him on a weird part of his hand as he throws off his glove and now bends over, gripping that thumb. Ooh. And as a prior catcher myself, I think I know that injury all too well. I think it fouled straight back, caught the lower part of that glove, and tore that thumb back. I actually had a similar instance happen to me when I was in Little League all the way back then. And, I mean, that pain was there for probably 2 months. I couldn't fully bend my thumb. I was still able to play, and I played through the rest of the game even then. However, there was pain there for a while. And now it looks like Mendoza is indeed going to be still in some pain, and they're going to make the call to Ethan Williams to grab his gear and come into the game. So Williams, who might have thought he had a nice night off, is going to have to come in here in the top of the eighth. And while he comes in, grabs his gear, we'll go to a quick break. All right. Never mind. We will not go to a break. It's going to be Williams back there behind the plate now. He got his gear on quick, and he's now taking a few warm-up pitches. Divitorio now standing in. He's going to step up to the box. Williams on short notice is forced to come into the game. Torsey has one out. It's an 0-1 count to Divitorio already. Here's the pitch. And it's going to go inside and Rodriguez. It hits Rodriguez on the foot, and he'll get aboard first base. Now Divitorio will come up to the plate. He is 1-3 with an infield single tonight. As Rodriguez leads off of first. Now Torsey comes set. Here's the pitch. Fastball outside for ball one. It'll be a ball and no strikes to Divitorio. Torsey sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded straight back up the middle. Kumai's got it. He tosses to second. Over to first. In time. No, not in time. It looked like they got him at first, but call is safe. They get one out of it. It'll be two outs with Divitorio now over at first. Taylor Kaufman comes up to the plate. Torsey's still out there on the mound. sets up. Here's the pitch to Kaufman. Swing and a miss. Strike one. Kaufman is 0 for 1 on the night with a strikeout. He's also been hit by a pitch and walked this game. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike two. That one was up at the eyes of Kaufman, and he still swung at that one. So the count will be no balls and two strikes for Taylor Kaufman. So once again, Torsey sits up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded straight back up the middle. Torsey has it and will trot on over to first before tossing it to Norton for out number three. So Colt 45s get out of it relatively easy there. We'll head into the bottom of the eighth, where the Colt 45s look to extend that 16-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive in Reading. Give them a call at 530-222-1500. That's 530-222-1500, North Valley Distributing.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the bottom of the eighth inning. We are currently waiting on a little game over there down the left field line to end before we can get this inning started. Looks to be some sort of race. It'll be Nate Scott coming up to the plate for the second time tonight. Scott was hit by a pitch in his first plate appearance. And now we'll be looking to lead things off of the Colt 45s here in the bottom of the eighth. And now the game will subside as I see some police lights out there headed down the street. There are a few of them. Something's going on over there. Not a surprise here in downtown Reading, especially next to the Safeway here. The Safeway is a hot spot for, well, mischief and delinquency. So now Scout will step in. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be a high off-speed for ball one. Again, the Colts lead 16-0 here in the bottom of the eighth. 1-0 pitch. Scott is going to be popped straight up and back. Going back is the catcher Reeder. He'll make the catch for out number one. Scott goes down. Tweet now will come up to the plate. Blake Tweet. Tweet is 1-for-3 on the night with a single, a walk, and also he was hit by a pitch. Now Hutchinson will step on the rubber and look for a sign. He's got it. Here's the pitch. Low fastball called strike one there. Wow. Sure didn't look like a strike, but when it's a 16-0 ball game like this, I suppose strike zone typically tends to expand. So now an 0-1 pitch to Tweed. Goes high. That'll be ball one. It'll even up the count at a ball and a strike with one out. Tweed steps into the box. 1-1 pitch, here it is. Swung on, skied out into the parking lot on the right side. Actually, it hits off of one of the light poles and comes back and bounces off the top of the third base dugout. It'll be a 1-2 count now to Blake Tweed as Hutchinson again sets up and now delivers. Outside fastball, ball two. It'll be two balls and two strikes now for Tweed. Takes a deep breath before stepping back into the box. Hutchinson steps on the rubber. Now the 2-2 pitch. Swung on and drilled into left field for a base hit. Tweed will round first. And, well, he's on with a one-out single. That'll bring up Ethan Williams now in the place of Mateo Mendoza, whom he replaced after Mendoza caught a foul tip on his thumb last inning and exited the game. Williams now looking for his first hit. His pitch comes in. It's a high fastball, very high, but called for a strike. Oh, boy. That sure was a questionable call. A one pitch now to Williams. Here it comes. Another high fastball. This one even higher, and that one indeed will be called a ball. It'll be a 1-1 count. Now the pitch to Williams. In the dirt, gets past Reeder. And I think I mentioned this earlier. Reeder has stopped dropping to the knees to block any balls in the dirt. He is really not showing much interest in really trying to block the ball at all. Tweed stays on first anyway. Here's the pitch now. It's going to be swung on and jammed over to the right side foul. Count will be two balls and two strikes to Ethan Williams. Crowd here is pretty much thinned out. Probably maybe at around a third of what it was at its peak tonight. Maybe less. Maybe, actually, I'd probably put it at maybe a quarter. Now the 2-2 pitch to Williams. Swung on and fouled deep over to the right side into the parking lot. Now Williams steps back into the box. Setting up is Hutchinson. Here's the pitch. Swung on, up the middle. Fielding it is Divitorio. He tosses it to second. Now over to first. It's going to be over the head of the first baseman Owens and into the dugout. So the Grizzlies had an opportunity for a double play, but instead an overthrow will send Williams over to second. And that's kind of what I mean here tonight by, or sorry, when I say the defense has given up. It's just been a lot of errors. Of course, most of them not very consequential here, as the Colt 45s haven't really been capitalizing on anything due to the fact that they're up 16-0. Anyways, it's going to be Peyton Jeffries up to the plate. She watches a first pitch fastball go by for strike one. Jeffries is 3-for-5 tonight. However, he struck out twice in his last two at-bats. Looks to maybe get an RBI single here. Here's the pitch. In the dirt. Ball one. So the count will even up at a ball and a strike. Again, that one skirts away from Reeder. However, Williams does not go, and Reeder just walks over to pick that one up. 1-1 count. Here's the pitch to Jeffries. Swung on and bounced up the middle. Divitorio's got it. Throw over to first is in time for out number three. So Hutchinson gets out of it without giving up any runs. That'll bring us to the top of the ninth, where the Grizzlies look at their last opportunity to turn this game around. 16-0. Remember, this game is brought to you by North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive, sponsoring Reading Colt 45's baseball and servicing the electrical construction markets and electronics industry in the North State. That's 530-222-1500 to give them a call. North Valley Distributing.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back here to the top of the ninth inning. Grizzlies look at their last opportunity to score here. The score here at Tiger Field is 16-0, Colt 45's lead. Really, most of those runs came from that big sixth inning in which the Colt 45 scored 9. So now it's going to be Juan Leon coming up to the plate for the fourth time. And now we're just waiting until we can get this inning started. Hasn't been much of a game here tonight. It was close. I would say it was close enough all the way through the fifth inning. I mean, it was a 1-0 ball game when we were heading into the bottom of the fourth. And then the Colts scored 4 in that inning. Looks like it's going to be... I'm having a little trouble seeing. It looks like it's going to be a new... No, I suppose that is Jackson Torsey back out onto the mound for the Colt 45s. He sets up and delivers. Swing and a miss there from Leon. It'll be no balls and a strike to Leon. Leon is 1-for-2 on the night with a single and a walk. Torsey gets his sign. Now asks for it again before stepping off, actually. There's a little bit of confusion between he and... Okay, it's not Torsey. It's Billy Plummer out on the mound. I'm having a hard time. I can't see the numbers or anything, so I see a tall right-hander. It looks like Torsey, but it is Billy Plummer, number 22, as Leon now fouls one off back into the net for strike two. It'll be no balls and two strikes for Juan Leon. Here comes the 0-2 pitch. In the dirt, ball one. It'll be a 1-2 count now for Leon. As Plummer looks down and takes his sign. Now he'll shake one off. Takes this one, sets up. 1-2 pitch. On its way. In the dirt. Ball two. Count will even up at a couple of balls and a couple of strikes. Leon steps back into the box. 2-2 pitch. On its way. Swung on and fouled. Deep into the parking lot over there on the right side. Count remains 2 balls and 2 strikes. And the crowd here at Tiger Field getting thinner and thinner. Pretty sure everyone believes it's over here as the score is 16-0. And now Plummer throws one way outside and in the dirt to fill up the count at 3 balls and 2 strikes. But there's really very little that the Grizzlies could do to come back from this 16-run deficit. Plummer sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled once again back into the parking lot. And that one was kind of headed near my car. Doesn't hit it, though. Count remains 3-2. Leon steps into the box. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Plummer walks him up there with a high fastball. Gets the strikeout as Jordan Scott comes up to the plate. Scott now stepping up into the box.
That is Jordan Scott.
The Grizzlies have just 2 more outs to work with here in the top of the ninth. Here's the pitch from Plummer. Fouled back behind the stands. It'll be 2-1 to Jordan Scott. Plummer sets up again, 0-1 pitch. Check swing from Scott. There will be no appeal. I guess it wasn't much of a check swing there. He just kind of offered his hands. Count will be 1-0 now. Plummer sets up again. Here's the pitch. Inside fastball. Ball 2. That one came in on Scott. Nearly hit him. It'll be a 2-1 count. Plummer steps back up onto the rubber. Now sets up. 2-1 pitch. Here it comes. In the dirt. Ball 3. The count will be 3-1 to Scott now with 1 out. 16-0 the score. Infield, playing back. Here's the pitch. Strike 2 called. That'll fill up the count. Second consecutive full count that Plummer has delivered. Now the payoff pitch. And it's going to come in and hit off of... Sorry, it hits off of Scott and then hits off of Williams as well. It kind of nicked off of Scott and then nailed Williams in the helmet as Scott will get on after being hit by a pitch in a 3-2 count. And now Geno Hutchinson will come up to the plate. Hutchinson is 1-for-3 on the night. With 1 out, he'll look to do a job with the runner on first. Plummer sets up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled out into the parking lot once again. Parking lot pretty much empty here now, as most of our fans have decided to pack it up and head home here. Now Plummer gets his sign and sets up again. The 0-1 pitch. Here it comes. Swung on and skied straight up into the air. Moving over is Jeffries into foul territory. He'll get under it and make the catch. So Hutchinson goes down on the pop out, and that will not bring out the manager, Brandon Owens, who should be coming out to the plate. Instead, it looks like it's going to be Rodriguez. So now we have simply suspended all reality. And Rodriguez, who is the number one spot in this order, will come out and hit pretty much illegally. Here comes the pitch to Rodriguez. However, I think everyone wanting to get out of this game is not going to object to that. Brandon Owens, who is playing first base and is also the manager of the Grizzlies, decided not to come out and hit, so... The 0-1 pitch now to Rodriguez is going to be called. Strike 2. That was a nice pitch on the outside corner. Plummer just needs 1 more strike to close this one out. He sets up. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. It's going to go in the dirt and pass Williams. Williams now chasing it down. He'll pick it up. Throw to first. It's going to be in the dirt. Picked out by Norton. Nice job by Norton to save that out. And that'll end the game here for the Colt 45s. Final score after the top of the ninth is 16-0. Colt 45s deliver a pretty devastating blow to the Grizzlies. Grizzlies are supposed to come back out here and go through it again. However, they have absolutely no pitching, so we'll see what happens tomorrow, Sunday. The game time is supposed to be 6 p.m. again here at Tiger Field, so we will see if we play. But either way, Colt 45s get the win, and we'll look for another one tomorrow. Again, a rough game for the Grizzlies as we head in to the final game of the set tomorrow on Sunday. Well, folks, signing off here from Tiger Field, I'm Austin White. Hope you all have a good night.
We now return to our regularly scheduled broadcasting.
Exclamation point, period. At the same time as I had the daytime show, I had the CNBC program, Rivera Live, on at 9 o'clock at night. I did the Simpson case, as you know, very famously,
yeah.
And, you know, the Clinton impeachment. So I was kind of full-time employed. So the answer to your question is I've never been a TV lawyer, although I am a lawyer who goes on TV.
Understood. So, Geraldo, first off, on this New York state law, you know, obviously the WABC listeners, WRCN listeners have really tuned into that. Essentially, what they decided, if I can put it into layman's terms, and stop me if you don't feel it's effectively explained, is that instead of saying
you are very effective as an explainer,
but not as a lawyer. So let me know. It's the Sullivan Law put in place in 1911. The history of it, the Tammany, which is this powerful group in New York at the time, led by this state senator. They all had nicknames back then. This guy is called Big Tim Sullivan. He was introduced and passed after a big shooting in Gramercy, a bloodbath. They decided to outlaw the carrying of concealed weapons without a police permit. There was also a shooting at the mayor when he was getting his picture taken, and that was the sentiment at the time. That stood since then. It got harder and harder to carry a gun in New York State, especially in New York City. They looked at it. They looked at this opinion to the Supreme Court when it was brought to their attention by two New Yorkers on an amicus brief, and they said they got it all wrong. The Supreme Court says law-abiding Americans have a right to carry a handgun outside the home for self-defense, issuing this ruling against firearm restrictions as the nation obviously is dealing with this issue. Final decision 6-3. It was written by Clarence Thomas. Did he make the right call? Is he right?
I think he did a grave disservice to New York. You know, I was born and raised in the city, in and around the city. My whole career has been in New York. I have never, although my life has been threatened numerous times, I've had plenty of brawls and all the rest of it. I've been right on the streets there. Never have I carried a concealed handgun. Bo Deedle, you know, my old pal, our old friend, Private Eye, ex-cop, who's in the business of security, he carried a gun, and that was fine with me. That was the distinction between Geraldo and Bo. And I think the New York was fine with that. Now this decision made by justices who've never been on the D train during rush hour, who've never been in a crowded rock.
But it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. I got Geraldo, I hate to interrupt you, but you want me to interrupt you for this. Roe v. Wade has been reversed. It just came across right now.
Oh my God.
I'm looking at the split screen now. We got the Supreme Court.
Erica!
Yeah.
Erica!
So, of course, Geraldo's on with me right now, and he's just calling for his wife.
Tell Professor Dershowitz, Roe v. Wade has just been reversed. Alan Dershowitz is my house guest. I'll bring him on.
Yeah, you want to bring him on? That would be great.
Yeah. Could you bring it? Tell Dersh, come upstairs. Right here.
Yeah, it only happens on this show. This only happens with Geraldo, I should add.
It is a monumental move that I think will entirely disrupt the nation. Aside from the violence that is threatened, it also is is catastrophic for people who believe in the constitutional right established in 1973. Professor Dershowitz,
Geraldo, do you have a, is this a hard, is this a hard line?
Tell Brian Kilmeade what you think.
This is a self-inflicted wound on democracy. It needn't have been decided. They could have easily just decided that 15 weeks in Mississippi is okay. But to reach out and judicially activist way, strike it down, is going to precipitate a summer of violence and a greater division in the democracy.
I wouldn't necessarily think we have to predict violence on that. But in terms of this decision, Shannon Bream is about to join us right now in a matter of moments, we understand, right? Okay, first off, let's hear Shannon Bream describe the decision that just came down less than a minute ago.
The summary of the decision, it says that Roe and Casey are overruled. And the voting that we thought was together, it looks like it has stayed together. Justice Alito has authored the opinion. He is joined by Justices Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, Thomas, and Barrett. There are a couple of concurrences. The one that we're most interested in is going to be the one by the Chief Justice. And we'll see what he had to write, because we thought all along he would not be a vote to overturn Roe, but that he would be somebody who might want to try to find some middle ground. That Mississippi law, which bans most abortions after 15 weeks, that he would essentially probably uphold that but not want to go that extra step for Roe. And the court essentially says today that Roe and Casey are gone.
So there you go. Does that do you want to comment now, Geraldo, Professor Dershowitz?
Well, I think that it was unnecessary. As Professor Dershowitz said, all the court had to do was affirm the Mississippi statute and make a 15-week limit that would substantially reduce the period of time in which a woman could get a legal abortion. But by overturning Roe, now there's going to be turmoil. Now, what will the law be? What will happen with contraception?
Well,
what will happen with in vitro fertilization?
Well, let's not even.
There's so many, many question marks.
I'm not sure that'll be linked, but it's a great point. We've got two legal minds here, Alan Dershowitz. Professor, I will say this. So Roe v. Wade has permitted abortion since 73. Almost half the states are expected to outlaw or severely restrict abortion as a result. So this is not outlawing abortion. It's outlawing a federally mandated that it gives you the all 50 states. It mandates them to do it. So states will make their own decision. Don't you think that's an important clarification, Professor Dershowitz?
I do. New York will be unaffected as of now. But no one knows where the court, having made this decision, is going to take us. Imagine, Brian, we say with some confidence and almost a smugness, oh, don't worry, it's not going to affect us here in New York or maybe in Illinois or in California. But there's a big hunk of this country where now women suddenly have been denied and deprived a constitutional right they thought was theirs for the last half century. Half the country, I care about both halves of the country, and I care about a woman's right to choose. I don't think, it is a very important clarification, and New York will not be affected. The New York politicians have made that very
clear. Geraldo Rivera, our guest, he's calling
clear.
From his house. Yeah, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. Geraldo, Professor Dershowitz, is he still there?
Take breath. Let's go outside a bit more.
Hello.
Professor, what was it about Dobbs that made this abortion challenge so effective and ultimately went through? What was it about the Dobbs challenge?
Well, the Dobbs challenge just gave the justices the power to overreach. They didn't have to decide anything other than that a limitation to 15 weeks was constitutional. And that would not have constituted an overruling, but just a limitation in Roe. But symbolically, this has become a very important decision. It will unite all supporters of Roe against the Supreme Court, and I think will stimulate a protest. I hope the protests are peaceful, but I think some of them won't be. An organization called Jane's Revenge has already promised a protest that might cross the line to illegality. So I think it was a terrible mistake for the Supreme Court to go further than it had to go. If you're going to overrule a decision like Roe, you do it properly in a case that presents no choice but to overrule it. Here they had a choice to come down with a more limited decision, and they chose judicial activism. It's a provocative act by five Supreme Court justices,
but there's another,
because they have the power.
Of course, no one challenges your legal mind and your recall. Here's Molly Hemingway with a different view. Cut 33.
The Second Amendment protects the right to keep and bear arms, whereas abortion was an invented right that was invented in 1973 and has no basis in the Constitution. And so what this ruling said today is that the Second Amendment cannot...
So I wanted that portion. There's a school of thought, okay, too. Go ahead.
If you take Hemingway to her serious conclusion, then the right of contraception is not protected by the Constitution. The right of a black man to marry a white woman is not protected by the Constitution. And virtually all rights of privacy are out the window. She's just dead wrong. The Fourth Amendment talks about the right of the people to be secure in their persons, in their bodies. The word security in the 18th century meant privacy. There was no word privacy. The word was security. So the right of security is in the Constitution, and the right to bear arms is not in the Constitution. The Constitution only gives the states the right to have militias that are well regulated. The Supreme Court invented, after 200 years of saying that the Second Amendment was a militia power, not a right of individuals, the Supreme Court invented the right to bear arms. And so you can make the exact opposite argument. The truth is...
So you're saying we don't have a Second Amendment right to bear arms? We only have a right to have a state militia? Is that what you're saying?
Look what the Second Amendment says. It says the need of the states to have a well-regulated militia, the right of the people to bear arms shall not be abridged. If you wanted to just have the right of the people to bear arms shall not be abridged, the framers could easily have just said that. Remember, too, that it was the states that had militias. There was no federal militia. And the states had militias, and they regulated them. The state could decide whether an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old could be in a militia. The states got to decide what kind of guns could be used by the militia. The states got to decide who qualified for the militia. That is,
Professor Dershowitz, I'll never be able to challenge your legal background, especially without a law degree, so I'm not even going to pretend to. But it's just from a layman perspective, from they look at the Second Amendment as something that is federally is something the federal government is there to preserve. And I guess how
it
you
is.
Interpret that line. So give people
right.
the right to have a Second Amendment. But I do want to outline what just happened. Roe v. Wade essentially have been reversed, which means essentially the states will decide if abortion will take place there, and states will decide what their rules are, whether it's going to be 0 weeks, whether it's going to be 6 weeks. What else do states will – I know you're not a doctor, but what other limitations will states put in?
Well, some states will say the morning after pill is unconstitutional or not constitutionally protected. Others might say, I don't think anybody will say, contraception. But remember, I went to Yale Law School in New Haven at the time when contraceptive clinics were illegal because the Catholic Church didn't want people to practice contraception. The Supreme Court overruled that in the 1960s. Are they going to overrule that again now after this decision? That's the question.
Geraldo Rivera and his house guest, Professor Alan Dershowitz, thanks so much
for doing
some instant analysis. Geraldo, thanks so much. We're up against a break. You know the rule.
Okay,
thanks so
Brian,
much.
Thank you.
Roe v. Wade overturned. Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this. 10. There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance. Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text CAR to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text CAR to 42424 right now. Text CAR to 42424. Text CAR to 42424.
These products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
At Hannah's Organic Honey, business may be sweet, but they need an e-commerce queen bee to lead the hive.
Okay, these jars are going to Jakarta. Oh, wait a minute. Does that say Jackson?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Earn up to $500 in sponsored job credits by interviewing on Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Fox on Justice. A former school administrator in Virginia has filed a lawsuit over what she says was a racially hostile work environment. Emily Mace was an assistant principal at Agnor Hurt Elementary School until last September, when she claimed she was forced out of her job for what she calls a slip of the tongue during an anti-racist training session. The training sessions in Albemarle County, Virginia, were based on a book called Courageous Conversations About Race. The book says racism can only be committed by the dominant race, meaning white people. Kate Anderson is an attorney with Alliance Defending Freedom, representing Emily Mace.
She's branded a troublemaker for speaking out against a policy that was overtly racist to students. It told teachers that they had to treat students differently based on their race, teach them differently, grade them differently, discipline them differently.
A district spokesman says school board officials have not been served with the lawsuit and have not had a chance to review its allegations. Mike Emanuel, Fox News.
This is House Call for Health. June is aphasia awareness month. It's a communication disorder that impacts more than 2 million Americans. It's more common than Parkinson's disease, yet most people have never heard of it. The National Aphasia Association defines it as an acquired communication disorder that impairs a person's ability to process language, but does not affect intelligence. Aphasia impairs the ability to speak and understand others. It's always caused by an injury to the brain and most commonly from suffering a stroke, especially in older Americans. Communication difficulties can range from being very mild to nearly impossible. Some people do continue to improve from the condition over the years, but if symptoms last longer than a few months following a stroke, complete recovery is usually not likely. The National Aphasia Association says they work to bring people together, those who suffer, caregivers, and professionals. And that's why this year's theme is #AphasiaTogether. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. Health Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
The nation's air traffic controllers went on strike on August 3, 1981, grounding about 7,000 daily flights. 3 days later, President Ronald Reagan took an unprecedented move to break the strike. He fired all 12,000 air traffic controllers in retaliation.
Let me read the solemn oath taken by each of these employees. I am not participating in any strike against the government of the United States or any agency thereof. It is for this reason that I must tell those who fail to report for duty this morning, they are in violation of the law, and if they do not report for work within 48 hours, they have forfeited their jobs and will be terminated.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
You're interested in it? Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
This decision has not changed in its critical respects, so all of these protests did not succeed. In fact, what we thought was happening did happen. It's clear that the Chief Justice was trying to peel off a colleague. He admits that our states in his concurrence that he would have liked to simply get rid of part of the Roe-Casey line of cases dealing with viability, but not overturn the cases entirely. Kavanaugh's concurrence, however, amplifies what the majority is saying. He wants to sort of put a pin on it and says, look, the Constitution does not speak to abortion. And so you'll have to deal with that issue on a state-by-state basis. So this is not a fractured decision. It's basically a decision that we anticipated. It is a huge victory for the pro-life movement. It's a victory for former President Donald Trump.
So you have basically this is a 6-3 decision, correct? This is a 6-3 decision. You have all the conservative Supreme Court justices, including Roberts, voting for the overturn of Roe v. Wade. It does not ban abortion. It returns the decision to the states for the first time in 50 years. So this is obviously as big as it gets for the Supreme Court. It is now released. It's now an official. Along with the gun decision yesterday, when the right to bear arms is brought into play, we're seeing now protesters and other people celebrating on Capitol Hill.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Tutankhamun, Wonderful Things, Treasures from the Pharaoh's Tomb is open now through September 5th in Reading at Turtle Bay Museum, featuring authentic reproductions of King Tut's ancient Egyptian treasures. Presented by Senator Kay Maurice and Marianne Johannesson in association with the Museum of Ancient Wonders. This exhibition is included with paid park admission, free for Turtle Bay members. Tutankhamun, Wonderful Things, Treasures from the Pharaoh's Tomb, open now through September 5th at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
Do you love country music? Come see Curb recording artist Dylan Scott perform live in concert Friday, July 8th inside the Wind River Resort and Casino of Event Center. Tickets are $60 plus fees.
For tickets, call 1-800-280-UWIN.
A must-see show. Country sensation Dylan Scott in concert at Wind River Resort and Casino Friday, July 8th. Concerts are better at the river.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Axiom Repertory Theater is proud to present Woody Guthrie's American Song.
This land is your land, and this land is my land.
Experience the words and music of Woody Guthrie in this ensemble musical presentation for a limited engagement, June 10th through July 4th.
I roamed and rambled, and I followed my footsteps.
Tickets available at axramptheater.com.
This land was made for you and me.
Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
There have been people all along who have warmed on both sides of this, that Roe was not decided. They thought on solid legal underpinnings, including the late Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She worried that this exact kind of thing would happen, that there would be a challenge that got to the underpinnings and the legal reasoning of the way that Roe was put together. So there have always been people on the left and people who are part of the pro-choice movement who have worried that Roe was susceptible. So it's always been viewed as vulnerable on potentially a number of legal points. So today is the fruition of what they were worried about, and also the realization of what pro-lifers hoped, those places that they could find that Roe was weak and its progeny, including Casey, was weak. And that's where they've gotten today. They had always argued that they could chip away and that they would get to this day because everybody on both sides was concerned that Roe was susceptible to this.
Shannon Bream giving us instant updates on what happened less than 30 minutes ago, and that was the overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court justice, first time in 50 years. Abortion at the federal level is declared unconstitutional, illegal. It does not mean it's banned in this country. What it means is it's going to be a state decision. So here it is. It was a 6-3 decision. It was Thomas Gorsuch Kavanaugh. So if you look at Gorsuch Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, that is directly responsible. All the credit or the discredit, if you're a Democrat, goes to Donald Trump. Clarence Thomas in place, Amy Coney Barrett put there weeks before the president left to the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Brett Kavanaugh and Neil Gorsuch was put in place early on. You know about all the controversy there. Chief Justice Roberts was put there by George W. Bush. Remember that? He became Chief Justice when Rehnquist retired. But now you have the three in dissent, Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, Alina Kagan, all in dissent. So the Dobbs decision was one that did it. After 50 years, Roe v. Wade is now gone. They do point out that Dobbs decision was challenging 15 weeks. So they wanted to ban up to two trimesters. After that, the abortions would be banned. Some are going down to zero. Other will go down to the first 6 weeks. It's going to go state by state, a state by state decision. What's also been brought up, too, is this one of these things you just ignore? A lot of states are going to choose maybe to ignore it and to kind of do their own thing. Let's go out to Alex, listen on WABC. Hey, Alex.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Thanks for taking the call. You know, I thought that Professor Dershowitz was a constitutionalist, but he wasn't telling you on this program a couple of moments ago that it was unconstitutional for the court to overturn Roe versus Wade. He said that they shouldn't have decided to overturn Roe versus Wade because of the violent protests that were going to break out in this country and because we're going to have a summer of violence. So he's saying that the courts are given into the mob, but that's just not how we run this country.
Absolutely.
We're not supposed to give into violence.
Great point. And that shouldn't, and that was what was so damaging about the leak. The leak that was evidently written in February that came out in May that said that Alito was going to, and he ended up doing it, writing the decision. So he writes the decision. It leaks out in order to pressure the Supreme Court justices, I guess, to change their mind. We still don't know who did it and what the approach was. And guess what we got? We really have had a month of protest in front of these justices' homes, three of which are in Virginia.
Yeah, you know, Brian, the Democrats, they don't like the law-abiding citizens. That's why they keep on making laws, and that's what they did two nights ago on gun control. But they don't want to enforce these laws. And the thing that that does is the law-abiding citizens, they ask, is this legal or illegal? And that's how they go by, and that's how they run their lives. But the criminals, they ask, is this a law that is being enforced? Because if not, then it's not in their book of laws. So the only things that these laws that the Democrats are making or doing is it's restricting the law-abiding citizens and putting them in a position where they can't protect themselves. And the criminals, they don't give a damn. So the Democrats are helping out the criminals.
Yeah, you're talking about guns, too. Thanks, Alex. Absolutely impactful, especially here in New York City, where I'm broadcasting from. So the decision goes like this. It was a challenge to the Mississippi law passed in 2018 that bans virtually all abortions on the 15th week. The law carves out exceptions for medical emergencies and cases involving a severe fetal abnormality, does not make exceptions for cases involving rape, incest, and has never gone into the effect, however, because the lower courts, including the conservative U.S. Courts of Appeals for the 5th District, blocked the state from enforcing the law. Friday's decision reversed those rulings and upholds the law. Tom, listening in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Tom.
Hello.
Tom, Roe v. Wade has been reversed. We also know about the 6-3 decision when it comes to concealed carry. Yesterday they came with the Supreme Court. We're seeing all the action unfold. Your reaction?
Well, I was calling regarding the conceal and carry, and I listened to, I can't remember if it was the governor of New York or the mayor of New York said something like this. He said that we've been pushed back to the days of the old West, you know, like
mayor.
Making wrong decisions, shooting in the streets. But it brought to mind 1982, Kennesaw, Georgia, passed an ordinance that if you're going to reside within their city, you must have a firearm. You must keep a firearm.
Yep.
Of course, you know, everybody thought that was going to go nuts, that the country's saying, they're saying, oh, it's going to be fighting in the streets. But exactly the opposite happened. Crime dropped 90%. It's ridiculous. Crime dropped 90% in that city.
I know.
And I just read an article that was said, back then there was only a few thousand people in the city, but now there's 30,000 people. And at the time that this article was written, in the past 6 years, they had one murder, and the crime rate is at 2%.
Couple of things. Worth studying, absolutely. Number two, we have these strict laws in New York City especially, and you see how out of control. 189 homicides already this year. Last year, 225 by the same period. We see that guns are out of control in the most restrictive places possible, Chicago, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and in New York City. So don't say that all of a sudden things are going to go crazy. They already have laws on the books. They're having trouble because they stop with stop and frisk. They're having trouble enforcing. They have not been the same since that law went out the window because they thought that Bloomberg went too far when Giuliani put it in place. So that is absolutely worth looking at. Number two, when you look at how this goes, there's going to be certain places that are going to be restricted within the law that passed 6-3 yesterday. They got to look at schools, say 1,000 feet, you can't have a gun, state buildings, maybe subways. So it's not going to be the Wild West. It would help in times like this to have level heads speak out. That would help. I want you to hear again, we're reviewing what just came down about 35 minutes ago, and that is the overturn of Roe v. Wade. We're seeing all the action, able to watch some of the action here on Fox News headquarters of the protest. Some people celebrating, some people are upset. Obviously, both sides, the emotion is high. Here's Jonathan Turley further spelling out what this means.
When people are calling for a day of rage, you know, reason is will be a stranger. And that's what we're already seeing. People feel very passionately, but there's some that can take that to violent ends. So I expect they're going to be ramping up security. In terms of federal law, now that the opinion's out, it's actually more difficult to use the law because the law was designed to allow the arrest of people who are trying to influence a pending proceeding or matter with the court. This is no longer pending.
anything. So if anything, it's going to be less likely to arrest just for the act of protest. But I think that now law enforcement is going to really be acutely aware that there are people who are likely to lose reason, lose restraint, and could well become violent. And so I expect that they will ramp up that security.
So there you go. And also, as he mentioned, and later in the interview, when people say, well, there goes abortion rights, there goes contraception rights, he says, no, within this decision was that was taking on the dissent. The dissent said this is going to be like falling downstairs. He says, no, this has nothing to do with that. This is not the same sex marriage. Contraception rights are not part of this, not part of this decision. You know what, Allison, even though it's only 2 minutes, let's put Senator Lindsey Graham on. Let's give him a call. Because we had two and a half minutes, let's just put him on, and just get his opinion on this opinion. And all right, here's Andy McCarthy.
When Chief Justice Roberts, not only in his first among equals role as the Chief Justice, but also when he was kind of the swing justice or one of the swing justices on a 5-4 court, he was in a better position not only to deflect cases that he would prefer the court not to take because they were too hot potato type, but also even within the framework of the cases that the court took, he was able to narrow the issues that the court would resolve. In a 6-3 split rather than a 5-4 split, he's got much less control. It takes only 4 votes for the court to accept a case, but obviously you don't take a case if you're a justice who wants to take it unless you think you can get the 5 to win. So now when there are 5 other conservative justices besides Justice Roberts, he's not in a position to sort of bargain his vote and use that as leverage to deflect cases that he'd rather not see the court take. They have much more freedom to take cases whether he wants to take them or not.
So what he's saying, Amy Coney Barrett for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, kind of neutralizes John Roberts' ability to moderate messages. He's a conservative justice. A lot of people don't think it should even be his job. You're out there to run the court, but don't subject to your beliefs. That's for legal scholars to examine. But right now, he's got to convince others to go his way as opposed to use the power of his vote to go away. I think that's the point Andy McCarthy was making, and it was an effective one. I'll do a simulcast. Listen, stay online. I'm going to talk to Stuart Varney. Then we're going to and then before I hang up, we'll be able to squeeze in a couple of calls.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name is Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Carla's retiring early next month. We're all going to have to learn to pick up the slack.
The dessert-making role at Sawyer's Restaurant, deserted.
Mom, if you can handle beignets.
They need a new pastry chef who can souffle like it's a piece of cake.
Come on, guys, we've got a line out the door. How much longer for those croissants?
Indeed can help them hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Earn up to $500 in sponsored job credits by conducting interviews on Indeed. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Terms and conditions apply.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over 1 million pets helped with Dynavite.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, this is Trey Gowdy, host of the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Every Tuesday, you'll hear what's on my mind. Plus, every Thursday, there's a special bonus episode where we answer the questions that are on your mind. Make sure to spend your Tuesdays and Thursdays with Trey. Subscribe now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Hope to see you.
America's listening to Fox News. Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
5 inches of rain by tomorrow.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com. Connect to Fox News Audio on the Fox News app. Listen to hear your favorite hosts like Brian Kilmeade, Jimmy Fallon, and Guy Benson standing up for what's right, live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now.
The Brian Kilmeade Show joins Fox Business's Varney & Company with Stuart Varney, live on your radio and on Fox Business. Here's Brian Kilmeade.
Welcome back, everyone. We're about to go on with Stuart Varney. I might as well take my name tag off, don't you think, Allison? That would be a good move. I pretty much could make sure of that. I'm pretty sure they won't check my nameplate for the Stuart Varney Show on FBN. We're talking about the historic move in 1973. Roe v. Wade was put into place. Abortion was legal in all 50 states. That was overturned today by a 6-3 margin. And Justice Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts, basically wrote his own dissent, not his dissent, but his own conclusions on this, which essentially makes this even more intriguing. Let's listen in to Stuart Varney.
That means Brian Kilmeade, Tommy, joins us right now. Brian, I'm looking at the response of the left to this ruling. Nancy Pelosi calls it cruel. Senator Schumer says it's the result of an extremist MAGA court. The Senate Judiciary Committee will hold hearings in July, and Attorney General Garland is going to issue a statement. The left is mad as hell, Brian.
Not surprising anything. You know, it is very interesting that Speaker Pelosi, as a Catholic, and always says she's a devout Catholic, it's about the children, not in this case. So not surprising any of those statements. I'm watching all monitors like you to see, because we were promised violence if Roe v. Wade was overturned. Indeed, it was. And you see a 6-3 decision, as was outlined by Jonathan Turley a moment ago. He just says, listen, John Roberts was so out of his poll when Amy Coney Barrett was substituted for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So they were going to do this anyway, 5-4, 6-3, and he probably would have just looked to uphold the 15 weeks and not look to overturn it. But now it's done. It's a done deal. It's returned to the states. And this is one of those moments, too, where we're going to remember. It's one of these decisions that come down to the Supreme Court that's been in place since 1973. And from the moment it was put in place, there has been controversy with it. And it continues today.
What do you make of these corporations? J.P. Morgan, Amazon, Citigroup, Yelp, Apple, paying significant travel expenses for employees who wish to have an abortion and need one in a state to leave the state to get it. What do you think of the morality of that, Brian?
Fascinating to see the role of corporate America in when it comes to taking a position on controversial issues, taking a position. We've seen that, you know, with the little things like moving the All-Star game. Now you say, okay, my employee, my vice president is pregnant. We're in Oklahoma. Oklahoma, in theory, Mississippi, does not allow abortions. So we're going to provide additional time off and pay the expensive on JetBlue in order to get the abortion and come back in 8 weeks. It provides more analysis, more scrutiny, more judgment from coast to coast. I mean, I happen to be on the air with Geraldo Rivera, who you know is a lawyer, who has Professor Dershowitz staying at his house. And he was able to pop up on the air, and he's a liberal attorney. Not surprising, not happy with the gun law, overturned 6-3 yesterday. A liberal attorney says that they should have left this in place. He predicts now we're going to have a summer of violence. But as been brought up by one of my callers, that's not how you make a decision. You should not make a decision because you think the results are going to be embraced or rejected. You should do it on legal authority. And that's what was so dangerous about the leak of this decision, written up in January, leaked to us in May. And then we saw weeks of protests, dangerous protests, a would-be assassin showing up Justice Kavanaugh's house. So this is one of those times. Hold on tight, America. Once again, we got a controversial decision.
Well, look, we've got a gun decision from the Supreme Court, probably expanding the right of people to carry weapons.
Yeah.
And we've got the overturning of Roe v. Wade. You put those two things together, does that not amount to a significant new development for the Democrats this November?
Clearly, yes. But it is June, number one. Number two, elections have consequences. Supreme Court justices, three put by Trump. John Roberts put by George W. Bush. We know that's where the court is at this moment. We knew pretty much exactly where they stood on all issues. Put it this way, how ironic is it Merrick Garland, Attorney General, weighing in on this decision when he was told to everybody he was labeled as a moderate judge that Republicans would like? Mitch McConnell said, I'm not hearing Merrick Garland. We're not even interviewing him. He's not even going to get hearings. But he's still in the mix right here. But you know exactly what would have happened. You could play this out. Think about this, Stuart. One of the main reasons people voted for Donald Trump was they wanted to be able to fill that vacant seat in the Supreme Court. That vacant seat would have went to Merrick Garland if Barack Obama had his way. Mitch McConnell says, nope, too close to the election. Donald Trump shocks the world, wins the election. And not only does he fill Garland's seat, he fills two more seats. That brings us to this moment on both those decisions.
Yeah, that's why Senator Schumer called this a decision from an extremist MAGA court, rightly or wrongly. Hey, Brian, thanks for being on the show today. Always appreciate it. See you again real soon.
Go get him.
We're going to stay on this story.
Let's go out to Tim in San Diego. Tim, how's this playing out on the West Coast?
You know, it's fine out here so far, but it's early, as you know, Brian. Just real quick, the caller before me, a couple of callers back, sort of stole my thunder about Dershowitz, but I would just say that this is a dignified, supposedly jurist, a responsible man who's actually paving the way or giving tacit approval, it sounded like, to some sort of violence this summer.
It
very
was a
irresponsible
prediction.
And maybe unprecedented for a man of his stature. Would you agree?
Tim, I think he was just, yeah, I know what you're saying. You're not without merit, but I think what he's saying is, look, he's been down this road before. We watched the protests in 70. He was probably practicing in 73. So he knows the protests, the pro-life, the pro-choice protests have been taking place for the last 50 years. And this has been predicted for a while. And he just is playing it out as a guy who's in his 80s who thinks he's seen it all. But you might want to take – I did kind of surprise him with the interview. He's staying at Geraldo's house. He did not know he'd be on. I don't think people are going to say Alan Dershowitz said we should wreck this building, we should raid this place, we should break this window. But maybe on further review, might have been to say that some fear that violence will ensue as opposed to saying it'll be a summer of violence. You know, I see what you're saying. It definitely is a worry. Tim over in San Diego, like you said, it's pretty early there. It's, it's not even 9 o'clock. Brian Kilmeade Show. Make sure you watch One Nation, especially now, 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock on Fox News. Also be hosting Tucker tonight at 8 o'clock. It's going to be, well, everyone's blowing up their rundowns because this and gun rights is what we're going to be discussing, as well as gas, inflation, baby formula. Besides that, not much going on. Keep it here.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text CAR to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text CAR to 42424 right now. Text C-A-R to 42424. Text CAR to 42424.
These products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open, and you're invited to come see for yourself why so many customers tell us how beautiful the nursery is. Locally grown plants and vegetables are on sale now. Buy any three vegetables or soda booster and get one free. Let Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping's contractor install beautiful dark green synthetic lawn, the best on the market. No maintenance, no water, no fertilizer. Call for your free estimate. Gold Leaf Nursery, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, closed Sunday and Monday, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6168 Churn Creek Road.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North Stable.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.